Thank you. Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2015. For those who don't know, we'll just announce it one more time. We always lead in with a song, and we're going to lead out with a song each Monday night so that the radio stations that are simulcasting us, if they wanted to put some kind of their own intro in or their exit out and station identification or whatever it is that they want to do, that space is there for them. And, of course, we make it about 5 or 6 minutes coming in and 5 minutes going out. That's 10 minutes, and they can break that in between the program if they want to also. But we are being live-streamed by Shake and Wake Radio, GMN Broadcasting, Classic Redneck Radio, and I understand, hopefully next week, Blog Talk Radio, Anti-New World Order Party will be picking us up. I don't think they're doing it tonight. But if they are, I'm sure they'll get into the queue and introduce themselves, but it'll probably be next week. And any of the hosts from those stations, if they would like to say anything, you can put yourself in the queue once we open up the queue and make some statements. Let's first start off with the Lord's Word. James chapter 3 is what we're looking at today. it's 18 verses. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace in them that make peace. Okay, that was James chapter 2. Okay, we got a few things to cover tonight and look at. We're going to look tonight particularly subject matter is the de facto versus the de jure. And this is a very important subject matter. Every subject we really look into ultimately on a Monday night now, in any event, is very important. And so people need to understand the difference between the de facto and the de jure, and we also need to understand how this thing came to be. But let's see. I want to make an announcement for those listening on live stream. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you are listening live over these networks, and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. So again, 605-562-3140. The code is 385-698. For other ways to join National Liberty Alliance to speak, if you have a question or a comment, you can go out to our site, nationallibertyalliance.org, and you can click on the top left side. It says Weekly Call on the top left. And there's also a way you can come in through your browser and use your mic in order to ask a question or make a comment. As I mentioned a little earlier, we do have another streamer that's going to put us up with their radio. This one is Blog Talk Radio, and the name of them is the Anti-New World Order Party. I do not think they're here tonight. I don't think they're streaming us yet, maybe next week. And we'll introduce them when they finally start streaming. We also would like to make mention that we do have now, we are offering non-GMO long-term storage foods, and all of the proceeds will go to support National Liberty Alliance. So if you purchase this through us, of course, you will be supporting National Liberty Alliance's goals. We also picked up someone we spoke with over the past week, East End Rare Coins. And I believe they're out of Long Island, New York. They're down in the city. And they sell all kinds of coins. I personally, try to get as much junk silver as I can. I don't know why they call it junk silver, but that's what they call it, silver quarters, dimes, half dollars, silver dollars. I like that the best. Everybody understands that. And in a destroyed economy collapsed monetary system, at some point when things get back to a little bit of normality, those are the things that people will understand and be able to trade a lot quickly. Than they could if they were had silver bars or whatever it is that they might be getting. But anyway, this company that's working with us, we're going to put something on the right side of our site, an icon, a banner, and they will. You'll be a phone number. All orders will be done by the phone. You'll get a phone number and you call up and you tell them that you're coming in through National Liberty Alliance and you'll get a discount on the purchases. Now, just real quickly on this food, which again, really next week is where we're going to, we do have a website open for them. Let me see if I can find that real quick. I think it's up here. Hang on a second. Yeah, I'll find it. I got it written down someplace. But in any event, the New Manna Food, we're going to have someone on from New Manna next week so that they can introduce the product. Again, it's a non-GMO, long-term storage food. It proceeds, again, just like anything else, we do go to National Liberty Alliance. And they have some really good deals. If people need to be storing food, and you need to be purchasing it from time to time. I mean, you can go out and spend $3,000 and buy, a year's worth of food or 2 years worth of food for a family of four. Or you can buy on a monthly basis, which, most of us, that's pretty much where we have to be. But they do have what's called the Defender Nutris Pack, 200 servings. And, goodness, I was looking at the price. I think that was $360 or something like that. I didn't write down the price exactly, but that's enough for a family of four to feed for a month and a half. I know it broke down to $1.85. So let me do the mathematics. 1.85 times 200. So the price was $370. I think it was $369 and change. $370 that you can spend a month, and over the course of 4, 5, 6 months, you can get a year's worth of food. 6 months or so, you can get a year's worth of food stored away for a family of four, and I think that's a reasonable price. They also have they have things that are a little cheaper than that. They have another one that serves 72 servings, and that's $100 and change. I forget the exact price. And again, this is affordable, unless some people, they may go out and, again, buy for the whole year, but most of us can't afford to do that at one shot and get it done. But we need to do a little at a time. I know with silver, that's what I've been doing over the years, a little silver at a time, and I've accumulated enough that I'm satisfied with. And I did the same thing with food. So everybody needs to be prepared. National Liberty Alliance is not going to support any product for the purpose of making money. We do need to be funded, that is true, and that's why maybe through these products that everybody really needs. I mean, this is a liberty movement, and just buying your food, it's part of the liberty movement, and buying the necessary needs, your ammunition and your food and your silver or gold or whatever it is that you want to buy, absolute necessity. So buying little by little is the way to do it, and next thing you know, over the course of 6 months to a year, and you'll turn around and realize you do have enough to survive over a long period of time. Okay. We are totally supported by our listeners. We don't charge anything for anything on our website. We've written a couple of books. They're available up there, How to Access the Courts. We wrote the Juris books, which we sell very, very cheap. It does help to support the movement. But a lot of stuff that's up online, it's all free. That we've created a course that we don't charge for. And we do ask that everybody maybe give us $5 or more a month to help support our movement. We're about ready to make some huge, huge moves. And we're really looking wherever we can to get some money to do this. To give you an example, we just started a campaign this week, and I'm hoping everybody's going to get excited about this. I already sent out an email. I see people coming up with great ideas. They're already chatting about it over at the media campaign area. And a lot of great ideas have come up. And what we're doing is we're going to get looking for 1 million signatures. Someone spoke with me during the week or last weekend, and they had mentioned to me that they wanted to, they were going to an event. I think it was a veterans event, and they had about 250 people coming, and they were thinking of getting signatures for support of what we're doing and, you know, use it for the local, servants there. And I thought it was a great idea. Immediately I jumped on it, and we wrote up some information on it. We got it out in an email. And so we do have a campaign going to get 1 million signatures. That's a lot of signatures. That for each state, we set up a paper to sign for this. It takes 100 signatures per page. So on the top of the page, we're really going to push on the state coordinators. This is the most important thing we can do. And as we get more and more into tonight talking about different things, you're going to see how important this is or over the weeks. We have about 7 or 8 papers written that need to be filed. And, they have a chronological order, and it has a purpose, and it has a build-up, and it has an endpoint. But there's other papers beyond that, because we do know it's going to take time for these people to respond. But it's all about pressure. It's about the pressure game. Darkness can never survive in light. That's the nature of all things. Darkness never survives in light. It's an impossibility. And so that's what we're doing, is we're shining the light, and that's why we're filing it in 94. Every paper we file in all 94 federal courts. This way they can't expunge it, because that's what they love to do. Everybody knows about it. It goes to every judge in America, whether they're on a state level or the federal level. Every judge gets a copy. Every sheriff in America gets a copy. We've got special agents from the federal, the FBI. They get a copy. There's 94 special agents in charge. In each federal district, there's one. There's 94 districts, so there's 94 special agent federal agents in charge. There's also 94 marshals, one for each federal district. And a marshal's power, we did speak about that in the past week or two, a couple of weeks ago. Power of the marshal is that of the sheriff. I was very surprised, as I mentioned before, how much that the federal our founding fathers set up the marshal with the same powers and authority of the sheriff, and cannot be removed by anyone. A judge cannot remove him. The president of the United States, who appoints him, cannot remove him. And that's a very important point. because he is the peacekeeper. He is the guy that's in charge of making sure that the Constitution is being applied. They don't understand their job enough. And that's why we have to educate them. That's why they get a copy of everything we're doing. We need to educate them and the sheriffs and so on. And so the same thing with the sheriffs, of course. No one could get rid of him either, or her. The only ones that can remove him, he could be removed by an indictment or a presentment by the grand jury. That's the only ones that could remove the sheriff or the marshal. Nobody else can. And in any event, you know, we need to get these messages out to all these people. So we're sending it out to all of those people also. The Joint Chief of Staff's getting a copy of it. And also the legislators on the state level getting copies and so on. And this is a pretty huge campaign. Now, the million signatures, for instance, we calculated, this is a pretty exact calculation, as a matter of fact, it's going to take 10,000 pages to get 1 million signatures. 10,000 pages is 20 reams of paper. One ream is 500 papers. So multiply that, it's 10,000 by 20, that's 10,000. So it's two boxes of 10 reams, so that's 20 reams. I mean, if you were stacked the 20 reams up high, it'll probably go 4 or 5 feet high. We have to send those signatures alone. And this doesn't even, you know, include the other paperwork that we need to be doing twice a week over the course of the next 3-4 weeks or whatever. Well, maybe we'll only do once every, maybe we'll do it twice every 3 weeks. I'm not sure. It depends on how fast we can get these things out because there's a lot of work to do. But the mailing on those signatures, and we do have to mail hard copies to the courts, and quite a few of these people have to get hard copies. The mailing alone, we calculated roughly, just for the signatures to the 94 courts, is probably going to be about $9,000. So we really need to start collecting some money. Right now, we collect enough money to pretty much pay the bills, basically, and keep going. And it's been pretty consistent and pretty stable over the past, I'd say, 4 months or so. And so it feels good to be able to keep up with the bills and pay the bills. But now with this new campaign that we're going, which is what we're all about, what we really need to do, we do need some serious money. So anybody who can afford to make a donation for this purpose, please, by all means, everybody, if everybody was to go out and put $5 a month into National Liberty Alliance, we'd have plenty of money, more money than we would need. So, you know, I'm calling out to the people who never stick their hand into the pocket to give to anybody for the purpose of any kind of a movement, or the people that kind of join the groups and get involved a little bit, but they never come to the meetings, or they rarely come to the meetings. They don't participate in helping to get the work done. And believe me, we have a lot of work done, and we need a lot of volunteers. Get in touch with your state coordinator or your district coordinator. Volunteer to help them do the work that needs to be done to get this job done. But do, by all means, do the best you can to send us a few dollars. Again, $5 a month is less than the tax that you would spend on a cup of coffee and a roll in the morning over the course of a week. So it's not that much money. Now, I do know there are people that are on limited incomes, Social Security, and so on, and $5 may be a hardship for them, and I do appreciate that. So, but you'd be surprised on quite a few people that send us $5 that is on Social Security, and they know, they say, and it's hard, but we got to do this. So everybody should work to see what they can do to help support National Liberty Alliance and this movement. And I think if everybody got busy and we really got a movement on this, I think in 6 weeks we would be, I think we could be in power. People could take back their nation and the people will be in power. So very important, do what you can. And what we really need is volunteers to help, you know, an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 6 hours a week. A lot of people are retired. Maybe they can give us a couple of days a week. But we really need the volunteers. We've got a lot of campaigns going. We've got a lot of committees that we've created. Maybe we'll talk about some of those committees later tonight. But we've got committees that have been created. We've got the courtroom observers group that's been pretty active and becoming pretty successful. I think it's happening down in Westchester County. Eric will talk a little bit about it. I don't know if he got the information on this one yet, but he was looking into it. They're trying to put this guy into jail for selling MMS. We can't permit that. We have to get down there and support this guy. We got to get there. Matter of fact, I believe, and we're going to talk about this, I think we'll put a call out this week for voting on this. I think we need to send a mandamus to the judge down there to find out to show cause. What are you doing? What's going on? Okay. And I also believe we need to show up down there in numbers with cameras and recording devices and so on. And really put the pressure on these people. We can't let them win this one. This is extremely important. Your health is in jeopardy here now. I mean, they've already gotten rid of vitamin B17. They made that illegal here because it prevents and cures cancer, most forms of cancer, or quite a few forms of cancer. And there's so many other things that they're trying to make illegal so that the pharmaceutical companies continue to make their billions or trillions of dollars on our pain and suffering and eventually deaths. They've made it a business. Okay, let's see. All right, let's talk about the de facto versus de jure. I'm going to read some stuff. We did post this up. If you go up to nationallibertyalliance.org and you click on media, let me get out there myself. You can click on media, or you can highlight media, and on the drop-down box, you can click on court filings. So this is a page for the media, and it records all of our court filings. We got a little bit of an introduction information here. But we got the writ of quo warranto out there, the information on the bill of exchange, and also the mandamus to the sheriff. Now, those two papers we still haven't sent out yet, but they were released earlier this month. But those two papers will be going out soon. It's a matter of getting money and getting all the work done in order to get that happening. The following papers below this, I'm just going to read the line. The following papers define important legal terms and positions that we, the people, should have knowledge of and can assist you in court. And one of those papers up there is called De facto v. de jure. De facto v. de jure. And that's what I'm going to be reading from tonight, and I think we're going to be talking about. I chose this particular subject tonight because someone had sent me an email, which I incorporated into this, a position, which is really a misconception that is taught on questionable websites. We have to really be very, very careful with poison out there on the website. The enemy is working overtime and poisoning all of these water holes where we go to try to get our information and understanding, and they'll come in there and fill it with poison, and it totally destroys it. And they really have worked hard on the state of mind of people going into the courts to make sure that you don't have the right state of mind, that you don't have the right position, that you really don't understand what's going on. And so we want to try to clarify this. This is the most extremely important subject of the matter. Who's that? This is the most extremely important subject because it is the foundation of the problem, and it is the foundation of the cure. Okay, but I'm going to read this, and we'll go through it, and then we got a few other things to do, and then we'll open for conversation. Okay, de facto versus de jure, and this comes out of Black's Law. An officer, king, or government, de facto, is one who is in actual possession of the office or supreme power, but by usurpation. They seized power by usurping it. Or without lawful title. They go into office and they didn't take their oath. While an officer, king, or governor de jure is one who has just claim and rightful title to the office or power, but has never had plenary possession of it, or is not in actual possession. Now, the United States Supreme Court said that when a court de jure exists, it supersedes the de facto court's decisions. And, of course, that's what we're doing. People need to understand, there's a few ways to open a court case up, a common law court, called the court of record. An individual can go in there and file an action at law. under with an affidavit. That's done with an affidavit. That opens up a court of record. No one can stop that court of record. The Supreme Court has ruled the only thing necessary to make a court, to make a case, prima facie, is an affidavit. Period. It has to be heard. So that's one way to open up a court of record. Another way that a court of record could be opened up is through an indictment or presentment by a grand jury. And there's only one other way, and that's through writ. And that's what we have done. We've opened a court of record through writ. Our first writ was the writ of quo warranto. That put them on the spot. From this point forward, it's writs of mandamuses, commands to do this, to do that. And it's exposure of all of the evil that's going on within our government and within the courts that is destroying America and destroying liberty and making it something, making American cities the dark cities. But in any event, that's what we've done. We've opened the court of record. I don't think they figured this out yet, but they know something's up. But they're going to figure this out real quick. And we know that the enemy's listening. We got Fogbo and a few others, a bunch of lawyers. I think there's three or four of them in some back room, smoke-filled room, typing all this stuff on the Internet. And they got 20 names or something apiece or whatever. They make themselves look big. But we do know that there's a very small group, and they are lawyers. And they're doing everything they can to discredit the National Liberty Alliance, to discredit me. But, you know, look, at all they do is accuse. And we know the father of accusers, the chief accuser is Satan. So look at this is what the devil does, is accuses. If they got anything, become a witness, bring forth your evidence, and let's go for it. Because that's what needs to be done. And they never come up with facts. They never come up with any kind of authorities. They just put all this poison. They just spurt it out there. And the weak-minded who don't look at anything, they just fall for it. And, you know, either they fall under us or they fall under them or whatever. But those people who are really seriously looking at these things, they'll figure it out. They know what's going on. But let's go back here to the paper. This is the United States Supreme Court. This is what they said. While acts of a de facto incumbent of an office lawfully created by law and existing are often held to be binding from reasons of public policy, the acts of a person assuming to fill and perform the duties of an officer of an office which does not exist de jure can have no validity whatsoever in law. All the rulings these people make have been unlawful. All of these people that have been in office unlawfully, it's unlawful. It's not. It doesn't hold weight. And he goes on to say, an unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as an operative as though it had never been passed. And that's Norton versus Shelby, 1886. Okay, now, some of the problems we're having, and this came to me in an email, and I thought this would be the place to talk about it. This is what really moved me to work on to this subject this night, this evening. Misconception taught by questionable websites. And this was the position of the individual who was writing the letter to me, this email. And he goes and says, a de jure grand jury can't tell a corporate de facto employees what to do because of prior superseding agreements. And of course, that's under fraud. The de facto are not obeying their own corporate Supreme Court rulings. And that's their sandbox, okay? They're not even obeying their own rulings. But the de jure grand juries are being naive to think that they can go tell a corporation on how to run its operations. When all the employees, U.S. citizens, have pre-consented, I don't remember pre-consented, but in any way, have pre-consented and released them from any ruling that they are giving the citizens. The citizen must first change his status. And I used to believe this poison when I first started to looking into this stuff. They must first change their status to be a citizen. That is part of the State of the Union. And they all, and they all, the de jure grand jury members, must also be State of the Union citizens. And then you can commence without any prior written contracts or adhesions in place that supersedes the Constitution. It's called subject matter jurisdiction. Take that away from the court, and they have a big problem. Now, there's so much poison in here, and look at some of the stuff does sound pretty logical, but really, think about what we're doing. We're going to them, to their jurisdiction, playing with their rules in their sandbox. So we're giving them jurisdiction. So here's the problem. First of all, there's no such contract that can exist because rights are unalienable. Blacks fourth, unalienable or inalienable, incapable of being aliened, that is, sold and transferred. It cannot be sold or transferred. So you can't make a contract to give up your rights, nor can you make a contract to give up the rights of our children. This was clearly stated as a self-evident truth in the Declaration of Independence, where we read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights," and acknowledged again in the preamble of the Constitution, which decreed that the purpose of government was to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Now, second, because the essence of the so-called contract was hidden, it becomes a fraud and unenforceable anyway. So you can't sell your rights, you can't give your rights away, you can't give someone else's rights away, you can't make a contract concerning your rights. I mean, you just can't do that. And again, our founding fathers, the founding papers, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the preamble of the Constitution, make it absolutely clear, can't be done. And on top of that, again, a contract, when you hold back information, it becomes a fraud. And clearly, you know, this is happening without our knowledge, and it's a fraud anyway. But furthermore, if the de facto courts are not honorable to obey their own statutes during the course of their own court rulings, are we that naive then to think that if we statutorily change our status, which is a creation of their statutes, by the way, they're the ones that created that system or that process, like we have to go back and change our status, which is a creation of their statutes, that they will then somehow become honorable, obey their own statutes, humbly deny themselves, and return the power to the people? I mean, we really have to be naive to think that they're going to do that, especially when they don't even obey their own rules. You go into their courts, they don't apply their rules that you just, often we can win in their courts, but they don't permit us to win. They're not honorable people. Okay, let's see where I left off here. And doesn't such an action place us under the very jurisdiction we are trying to escape by complying to their fiction? If you argue jurisdiction in their court, you submit to their jurisdiction, and you lose. Likewise, if you follow a statutory prescription designed by them to give you status in their courts so that you can argue jurisdiction in their courts, you submit to their jurisdiction, and you lose. So either way, you lose. Look, it's a fiction, it's a fraud, we give it no credence, we give it no reality, and we're pressing towards the mark, these people, you know, that don't step aside. They're going to end up in jail. It's only a matter of time when the people finally, we start to make a move with the people, and that's what that million signature thing is all about, to really get some involvement, and the people behind us, the numbers. Solution. The courthouses that these black-robed tyrants use to perform their dark deeds as they open equity courts under the rules of chancery were constructed by the authority of the people as Article III courts, and still are, and can be opened by the people through affidavit, presentment, indictment, or writ. Conspirators in all three branches covertly established a de facto government. The only way that the people can reinstate the de jure government is to educate and unify the United States common law grand juries, open courts of records in all 94 judicial district courts, expose the lawlessness by way of writs as we educate the oath takers, And when we have enough people behind the movement, the tyrants that refuse to let the people go will collapse under the stress of exposure. We are conceivably months away from that event, maybe less. Everything is in place as we continue filing unrebutted writs. They have not answered one writ that we have filed. And that goes back into the New York courts. But they have not answered the quo warranto. And we've got other writs that's going in, and I do not believe they'll answer those either. And, silence is agreement. Silence when they have a duty to speak is fraud. Okay, so that's a crime. So they need to obey. They're not obeying. They need to then speak and tell us why they're not obeying. They're not speaking, and therefore they're guilty. So really they're convicting themselves, because the conclusion of the matter is a conviction. And again, it's a matter of pressure. It's a matter of people. It's a matter of exposing everywhere to all oath takers. Oath takers are the elected people that we elected to do a job, and they're not doing it on both the federal and the state level. These are the people that we have to educate, because they don't know. They're as dumb as you and I are, and we're now becoming informed. We're educating ourselves. They need to become re-educated too. And this is the way to do it, through these papers. You know, there are groups of people who have been pushing me for a year and a half, no exaggeration, a year and a half, telling me that, oh, come on, let's go. Let's get going. You're moving too slow. You got to do this. You got to do that. They want to do the expedient thing. And I promise you, the expedient thing, which ignores the principles, fails all the time. You may get a little bit of a movement, but it's going to fail. First of all, it's not going to be blessed, because you can't set aside principles in order to go forward. You have to maintain the principles, and the principles move slowly. You know, it's the tortoise and the hare. So before we do C and D, we have to first do A and B. Otherwise, woe is us. We're not doing the right thing. We're not doing the principle thing. We also have to educate all of these oath takers. And how do you educate the oath takers? Well, you file papers in courts and you deliver a copy to them and you make them part of the court case. We are serving everyone. So they become part of the court case. And little by little, we command each of them to do the necessary things, which is to obey the Constitution, and we define it according to the Constitution and a Bill of Rights and according to their job description or what it is that they need to be doing. And we hold them accountable. That takes time, and that's what we're doing. And again, I think we're about 6 or 8 weeks away, maybe 6 weeks away. Look, if people really take this serious, and people are taking this serious, but not enough. There's too many people sitting on the sidelines, and they don't put out the $5, or they don't put in their time, they don't get involved. They figure, the other guy's going to do it. Well, I'm here to tell you the other guy's not doing it. He's thinking the same thing. Everybody has to do it. Everybody has to be part. You don't have money, that's fine. You don't need to give us money if you don't have money. But I'm sure everybody could find an hour a week. Call up your state coordinator. Call up your district coordinator. Give them an hour a week. Say, I can do whatever you need to do for an hour a week, and we'll try to find out what skills you might have and put you to work. You know, you got 100 people given an hour a week. That's 100 hours of work a week moving towards our goal. We need the people. Only the people can save America. The question is, will you? Will you save America? That's the question. Is America worth saving? Do you want liberty? Is your children worth it? Is it worth to save liberty for them? That's the question. And your actions is your answer. Conclusions. Hold it. Let me go back. I don't think I read all of this chapter here. Let me go back just a wee bit. Hang on a second here. I started off with the solutions. Let me go back and start with solutions. The courthouses... Did I read before this? Yeah. The courthouses that these black robe tyrants use to perform their dark deeds as they open equity courts under the rules of chancery were constructed by the authority of the people as Article III courts, and still are, and can be opened by the people through affidavit, presentment, indictment, or writ. Conspirators in all three branches covertly establish the de facto government. The only way that the people can reinstate the de jure government is to educate and to unify the United States common law grand jury, open courts of records in all 94 judicial district courts, expose the lawlessness by way of writs, as we educate the oath takers, and when And when we have enough people behind the movement, the tyrants that refuse to let the people go will collapse under the distress of exposure. We are conceivably months from that event, even less. Everything is in place as we continue filing unrebutted writs, and the people continue assembling, and when we amass enough people armed with justice, here in our 1 million signature campaign, the necessary landslide will, by the grace of God, prevail, and their vision of dark cities throughout America will give way to light. Conclusions. Judges and courts of equity have legal duty to satisfy the confidence of the people. And when said courts, in conjunction with other officers of the court, take advantage of the people by omitting and concealing, it becomes a fraud on the court under the color of law. Bad faith and fraud are synonymous, and also synonymous of dishonesty, infidelity, faithlessness, deceit, unfairness, etc. Constructive fraud consists in any act of commission or omission contrary to legal or equitable duty, trust, or confidence justly reposed or codified. Confided in. Let me reread that. or confidence justly reposed, which is to be confided in, which is contrary to good conscience, and operates to the injury of another. Such is the ill nature of our equity courts that have been seized by tyrants. A false statement as a material fact made with intent that another rely therein, which is believed by the other party, and on which he relies, and by which he is induced to act and does act to his injury, and statements are fraudulent. If the speaker knows the statement to be false, or if it is made with utter disregard of the truth or falsity. And by the way, as all our papers were filled with footnotes, and we have footnotes in here, and it's extremely important to gaze at the footnotes, especially if it gives a definition of a word and so on. But, you know, the footnotes define the meanings of the words that we're using here. Therefore, an oath to protect and uphold, such as Article 4, Section 4, whereas the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion, without the intent to perform, constitute fraudulent representation, which generally affords grounds for rescission. And all the officers in these courts of equity, by their actions, have no intentions on honoring their oaths, as they unlawfully cling to their misplaced power, and the judgment of their traitorous actions draw nigh. Rescission is the people's resolve by quo warranto. Now, this is extremely important, and I'm not going to get too much into explaining about it. We've talked about quo warranto in the past somewhat, and people need to understand the power and the authority of the quo warranto and the extreme power that's involved here, but it's kind of revealed here a little bit. Rescission. Rescission is where an act, valid in appearance, nevertheless conceals a defect which may make it null if demanded by any of the parties. As, for example, fraud and deceit. Nullity relates generally to public orders and cannot therefore be made good either by ratification or prescription, so that the tribunals, that's the people through juries, ought for this reason alone to decide that the null act can have no effect, without stopping to inquire whether the parties to it have or have not received any injury. Rescission, on the contrary, may be made good by the silence of parties. So the fact that they are silent gives us the power for rescission to go forward with that. The fact that they're doing this under fraud and deceit, again, is another reason why the people can go forward with rescission. Rescission. All right, so anyway, that is pretty much it with this subject matter, de facto versus de jure. I wanted to keep it simple, People really need to go up and read this, take it slow, dissect it, really understand what this is saying, because this is extremely powerful. And I will tell you, anybody who does not understand this, don't walk into their courts. Get yourself a lawyer and pray to get out of there with as little damage to yourself as possible, because that's your only resolve. Okay? If you do not understand the difference and you don't understand the poison, do not play in their sandbox. Do not submit to their jurisdiction. And you got to figure out how to do that. It is pretty simple. We speak about a lot of things. If you listen carefully, you'll pick that up. I mean, and we've talked about it in the past. And I want to tell you right now, if you read these papers that we have down here with where you found the de facto versus de jure paper, if you read these papers and you put it all together, you got the whole picture. And we got more papers to file up there. And when we're finished, that'll be enough information. Just what's on this page alone is enough information to write any court case you want, have the right positions, and really prevent them from going forward in such ways that put some fear into their hearts, because all of a sudden you understand what they're talking about. They know that you know what you're talking about. They start to wonder about you. You start to put this on the record, and you find certain ways to keep it on that record. There are ways to do that. And you keep it on that record. They start to get worried, and now they just want to get you out of their courtroom. And they'll push the other side to make an agreement just to get you out of there, because that judge doesn't want to go to jail. Sometimes the judge does go to jail, okay? But it takes people pressure and exposure to do it. And therein is what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. That's what the court watchers are doing. We're having some success there in the court watchers because we're in there with cameras and with recording devices. We're putting the pressure on them. We're writing notes. We're following up. We're watching them. And that's how you win a court case. Okay.
Hey, John.
What do you say? Yep.
You want to remind everybody where you posted that paper, because people don't always understand where to find this stuff.
Yeah, that's under, if you go up to the top blue bar, which is Welcome and Media, click on Media. On that Media page, if you want to know what we're doing, if you want to understand, if you want to know how the courts work, and you want to know how to go in there, how to strategize, how to maintain your jurisdiction, how to understand jurisdiction, read this stuff on this page. Even our court papers, our education, everything we do is educational. That's the point of the whole thing, to expose the truth through education, to inform, to enlighten. So the writ of quo warranto is an educated paper. It's a paper that gives you education. It's a powerful paper, but it also educates. The bill of exchange paper, the information we've done in a bill of exchange. And let me tell you something. You got to take heed to this bill of exchange and understand what's going on. You don't get rid of evil by using evil against evil. No, you got to use good against evil. Light has to overcome the darkness. That's the rule. That's the nature of this universe. The mandamus to the sheriff, again, an extremely important paper. Get to understand what the power of your sheriff is and get conversations going with him. We're sending this to them so that they understand what their power and authority is. Now, the other papers down here, we have a court of law. This is the listings of the paper. Court of law, courts that resist the Constitution, de facto versus de jure, judicial immunity, right to practice law, summary proceedings, null and void, Title 26 is not law, U.S. District Courts are Article 3 courts. And we have more papers to file. We're going through right now. A whole bunch of more papers will be posting. We'll be posting.
I just want to mention that's in the subheading court filing. So it's media, then court filing, and then that has everything we've done, and you scroll down and you see all that, those PDF that John's talking about.
And you can take a shortcut just by clicking media. Media goes to that page too.
Okay.
They both go to the same page.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear because I get so many people asking after these things.
Okay. All right, I got some questions that I'm going to go through, but in a short while. First, I want to see if Gerard has anything. Gary, Robert, Sheila, Eric, what I'm going to do. Hang on 1 minute. Okay. I am going to open up the Q&A. I do not want anyone to get into the Q&A. If you get into the Q&A and it's not your turn to get into there, we're just going to bypass you. We want certain people into the Q&A. We want Sheila, if she has anything to say. She's running the campaign, the media campaign group. Eric, if I know you're going to have something to say, so you know you might want to get into the queue now also. Robert, I see you have administrative powers here, so you can speak if you want. Gary and Gerard. So Gerard, Gary, and Robert, if you guys have anything, bring it up. Gerard, do you have anything to add, or you want to cover on
no,
this?
No, I don't have anything specific at the moment. I'm going to yield and let other people get in there for now.
Okay, we also are looking for Janice. Is it Janice? I think it's Janice from...
Janice.
Janice?
Robert
and
was
going to
say something, too.
Go ahead, Robert. You go first. Robert?
Yes, I was just gonna press the point that we need everyone on these signature pages. We need everyone out there with those getting signatures from everyone, and we need it now.
In order to accomplish our goal, we need every state has to put forth 200 papers, 200 pages, okay? And each page has 100 signatures, so that's a lot of signatures. Let's get a campaign going in every single state and get these signatures coming. People have asked me, and I'll give it back to you in a minute, Bob. People have asked me, well, how long, when does it end? You know, we have 6 weeks. We want a million signatures in 6 weeks, but we're not ending in 6 weeks. We want to go beyond a million signatures. But wherever we're at the time is what we have, and a million is really what we'd like to get. And so people really need to do this work. If we can get 2 million, 3 million, as the months continue to go by, that gives us more and more power. That's the key here, is to get the people behind us. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I also... We formed the committee today to start putting together all the spreadsheets for the mail-outs. We've been receiving a lot of lists, and if there's any left to be sent in, let's get them in.
And anybody that can volunteer some time, and that should be everybody, everybody should volunteer some time. Okay, give an hour a week or whatever you can give, but give something. Get a hold of your state coordinator and tell them, I'm ready to volunteer a little time. I can give a couple hours a week. What do you need for me to do? And get into the committee, get to the meetings. We have district meetings now. How many districts do we have, Robert? We've broken up into how many districts?
11 of them, I believe it is.
Okay, so the United States, so all the 50 states are broken up into 11 districts. We're having district meetings instead of state meetings for the purpose of discussing exactly what we're talking about now. It's time to get to work. This is it. This is where we're at. This is work time. And so get to your district meetings. Get a hold of your state coordinator. Find out what the phone number and the access number is. Get into these meetings. Find out the committees that are being built and constructed within the different districts and what the needs are. We have national committees that we're building. We have people doing letter writing and all kinds of different things. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Robert. And if not, maybe next week you can come in and give more of a detail of some of the things we're doing. But we're getting people busy on committees and gathering information and participating in every way possible. But go ahead, Robert.
Well, I have the district coordinator meeting tomorrow evening, so I'll be putting everything out to them, and then they'll be pushing it for everybody else. And so I'll just talk all evening on that.
All right. Give me a call on that tomorrow. I might come in for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the meeting. Okay?
Great.
Okay. Let's see. Gerard, you don't have nothing. What about Gary? Gary, you here? Do you have anything to add? I saw Gary before. Okay, don't talk to me. See if I care. Okay. I would like to talk before I open up Eric, and I believe... let me see. We have Janice from Pro Se America, and there is a May 1st March for Law Day. Can you believe this? They actually have a Law Day. They should have called it Statute Day, or Slave Day or something. But anyway, they got a day called Law Day. So Janice, with Pro Se America, is putting together a group to go out to Washington on May 1st and to march for that on that day. They're going to be delivering, I understand, a quo warranto directly. They're going to hand deliver it to the United States Supreme Court for all nine justices. And so, Eric, let's make sure we get together on this. I want to make sure that they have ones with seals. We'll put the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seals on it. Give me an address. I'll put the seals, get them all together. I'll mail it out to Janice, and then this way we got ones with real, actual seals on it. I believe they'll be handing out copies of that anyway. Those won't be necessarily sealed, but they'll be handing. Well, we can if they want. To other people in Washington. Now, we are sending them anyway, but we're going to have this hopefully videotaped, maybe a two-minute clip where someone will come in and make a statement on what they're doing, a little bit about the march or whatever, and delivering the papers to the United States Supreme Court, and we're going to post it. That's proof of service right there. I mean, we don't need the proof of service, but we want people to know we delivered this to the United States Supreme Court. Now, we know that they got it now, but in any event, what I'd like to say, though, real quickly, you see, I know I have a note on this. Yeah. I'd like to give Black's Law Dictionary interpretation of pro se. We have to be very careful of that word pro se, but I do appreciate the name of the group calling themselves the pro se. Let me see what the name of that group was again. What was the name of that group? Pro se... Pro se America, because there's a lot of people that go into courts pro se, and there's a lot of things they don't understand yet. So we're going to be able to have the opportunity to get the attention of a lot of people who aren't aware of what we're doing and how far we advanced in the understanding and the knowledge of how things work. But the word pro se, most legal dictionaries define the term pro se as someone who represents themselves. Now, that's what the courts want you to do. They want you to use that word pro se. They want you to come in, and because now when you're representing yourself, you're in their sandbox, okay? But Black's Law Dictionary, okay, says in the fourth edition, 1891, defines it in person. Therefore, we use the term in pro per. A good way to do it is pro se in pro per. But if you do pro se, just so you make sure you let them know what jurisdiction you're in, you should put a footnote on that and explain it. I do that with any word that could be questionable. If I happen to use the word citizen or person in my papers, I make sure that I put a little footnote on it. Don't think I'm talking about the fiction person or the fiction citizen. I'm talking about we, the people. So, you put that interpretation using Black's Law, Supreme Court rulings, in order to understand the meaning of that word. But anyway, therefore, we use the term in pro per. In that capacity, we accept the term pro se not to be confused with one representing their fiction, whereby the jurisdictional fraud might be assumed and status applied as a subject. But I'm going to take it further than that, okay? I say that if you're in their courtroom and you're being called for any reason, you're coming in for a meeting, you're coming in for some motion or a decision, or some conference, I say you're in the wrong court. Objection, Your Honor. We must be in the wrong court. These are not process and procedures according to the common law. They seem to be process and procedures according to Chancery, and Chancery brings us to a whole different level, and that's not the court that we opened or I opened or that I belong in. So, Your Honor, what jurisdiction can you tell me that we're in? Now, he probably won't answer that question, and then he's going to make some decisions. And the necessary thing for anyone to do at that point is to write a writ of error. Remember, this is your court. You can write a writ of error. You write a writ of error. You file it on the judge. The judge has made a serious error. You put it into the court record, and then you overturn his ruling. We do. I'm sure we have examples up there if you go through our site. But anyway, you overturn his ruling, and then you go forward in your court. And, you have to apply the Constitution on these people. You have to write your paperwork properly. And then when they break the common law, the procedures of common law, you have to correct it. And if you don't correct it, that's where you fall into trouble. And any judge that hijacks you into a foreign court usually is doing that under conspiracy because he's working with the lawyers on the other side. That's a conspiracy. It's also a violation of your Fifth Amendment due process. That just became a federal issue, no matter what court you're in, state or federal. That just became a federal issue, an assault upon your unalienable rights, and you have every right to bring collateral damage against that court, which means that court is a court not of the people, but of these de facto officers. So you have to sue the judge, who is an officer of the court, the other officers of the court, which are lawyers, attorneys, bar attorneys, that have worked with him under conspiracy. And, you know, I'm sad to say that you could also sue the marshal in the courtroom or the sheriff in the courtroom, you know, the deputies or whatever, if they, you know, I wouldn't do that because we're trying to make friends with them and educate them. But it can be done because they really are neglecting their own duty. They should recognize that the judge is just violating your unalienable rights, and they should arrest that judge. But they don't know. They don't understand. And so we don't want to make those people enemies anyway. We want to educate them because those are the people that are going to save America ultimately. It's the people that save it, but they have to lead it. And we have to train and teach them that this is their job to lead this movement to save America, to enforce the law. That's what they are. They are the law enforcement agents of America. So they have to do the job. Okay, what I'd like to do is open up... let's see, is 203-822, is that the number, Gerard, that we were given for Janice? I'm looking for that. I think that's Janice.
Hang on, I'll let you know in a second.
And I see Eric. I'm just going to unclick Eric first so he can start talking, and then Janice can come on and tell us about what they're doing in Washington. Eric, is that you? What happened? I saw Eric there. I don't see him now. Who's the... No, that's the wrong one, 260. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, look, this is 202-368-7178.
I see people in here that shouldn't be in here. I see Eric is in here. All right, I'm going to clear the queue, okay? Okay, I want Eric in here, Janice, and Sheila. Nobody else, please. Eric, Janice, and Sheila into the queue, star 6. Okay, let me unmute Eric. I don't see Janice coming in yet, but Eric, you've been unmuted. Eric?
I'm here, John.
Okay. We're looking for 7178. Is that it? Out of Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, so that's Janice. I'm going to unmute Janice. Sheila, we'll get to you shortly. I see Sheila's in the queue, too. Well, Eric, you might want to start speaking, and then we'll let Janice talk.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to welcome Janice. Janice is with Pro Se America. She's leading a march on May 1st. And this is kind of right in line with courtroom observers. She's going to be in the court, the Supreme Court, hand-delivering our documents. And I think that's a really big deal. She's a member of the NLA, and she's spreading the word about what we're doing. So I think it's quite a worthwhile effort. And I highly recommend that I urge everyone within driving distance of D.C. to get down there May 1st and show them on their, quote, law day that it's common law that's coming to town, and be there to observe Janice on her march. I think it'll be epic, hand delivering those Quahuantos to the I'll let her explain what she's going to do, but she is networking with the NLA. She's keeping her sovereignty and her independence by keeping her own organization, but she's working with us and we can work with her. We don't see anything that conflicts with what we're doing at the National Liberty Alliance, so we're wide open to giving her the promotion and whatever observers that we can help get to her event. And once again, she's working with us as well. So let me touch on two other things real quick, and then I'll turn it over to Janice. If anybody is in the Michigan area, we're requesting courtroom observers here for Don Levine. If anybody is in the Lafayette, gosh, Don, I'm not sure what town in Michigan you're in. It's Detroit. That's right, Lafayette Boulevard, 231 West Lafayette Boulevard on March 5th, 2 o'clock. So anybody in the Michigan area, members of the NLA, courtroom observers, anybody listening to this over the live stream, we could use courtroom observers for our friend Don, who's a good NLA member. It's on March 5th at 2 o'clock, and that's once again 231 West Lafayette. That's 231 West Lafayette. Room 272. and they're trying to bounce his jurisdiction down to Texas so he can't have his say in court. Once again, it's just a supreme deprivation of all due process, so we could use anybody of good, you know, wants to get there and help Don, will be greatly appreciated. On the million signatures situation, I urge everybody to get to their Chamber of Commerce. You can access it most likely online for your town or your county. You're going to have a Chamber of Commerce in every town. You get to the local businesses particularly. You're not going to really focus on Target and Walmart, but your local hardware store, your local steel shop, your local restaurant, your local auto shop. I got in the phone book this weekend. I called. I got a major auto shop locally that has almost 20 employees to put a petition on their counter. And I got my friend works at a major steel shop. He said his boss would love to. They have over 50 employees there and people in and out all day. There's a restaurant out here that they're going to put a petition there. They serve hundreds and hundreds of people. They're right on a main thoroughfare. Use your imagination, people. You can get carry a stack of these petitions around in your car. And everywhere you go, ask the proprietor of the business, especially the smaller, more local businesses, if they would be willing to put a petition there. And it's real simple. It just says,
especially
we command
shops.
Our public service to obey the Constitution. And so I urge everybody to get to your local businesses through the Chamber of Commerce, through just getting out to the streets like Janice is doing right now, since we're being blocked out of the courts. It's really important that people take it to the street, so to speak, and really get active and get out where the rubber meets the road and do activism things. Get out of your house. There's a lot you can do on your computer if you're retired or disabled, but if you're able to get out, right now is the time to get out and get these signatures going, because a million signatures is going to make one heck of a statement, and I think it's the best thing since the 3-cent stamp. So after that, I think that's catches me up, John. I'm going to turn it back over to Janice.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to just comment on a couple of those things. Gun shops are best places to go. Go in there, talk with the gun shop guy, leave some papers for signature. We've created half sheet flyers where you can, you know, each sheet has two flyers, you cut them in half, and which you hand out to people as they're gathering to sign. I would do, if you're going to do it at an event, have at least 3 or 4 clipboards going and hand out the flyers. As people are getting in line, they'll read it, they'll know what it's about. Nobody, you know, only someone that's really a moron or the enemy of liberty will refuse to sign this, because all we're saying is we're commanding our servant government to obey the law, obey the Constitution. It's that simple. Who can disagree with that? I mean, that's all we're doing. Go ahead.
And gun shows, as well as the local gun store, I highly recommend that people get, when you have a gun show come to town, there's thousands of people that go to those gun shows. I would just check in with the, you know, the people running the show and ask them if you can just circulate a petition. They might even put one, you know, up at the gate and help promote it for you. They might at least let you just walk around on your own and circulate and ask the, you know, people at the tables, hey, you want to sign this petition? I'll bet you could get hundreds of signatures at a gun show. So there's another idea of waiting for people to get out there. But hit your Chamber of Commerce and have a stack of those petitions with you, so when you run into a business or someone who's willing, you can leave a few there.
And remember, they're not petitions. They're not petitions, okay? That's very important. It's in the form of a petition, but we're calling it a mandamus because it's we command you. It's we the people. We're not asking. A petition is asking or requesting. We're not asking them for anything. We're not requesting nothing. We're telling them, obey the law. This is our nation. This is our country. It's not theirs. They're servants. I mean, it's theirs too from the other standpoint. But they're the servants. They need to obey the law. So again, you know, you can go into places and you can give them a couple of sheets and have them pin it on the counter and put a stack of flyers there and ask them to have the people look at that and sign the sheets and ask them when they're filled up to give you a call and you'll come back and pick it up, or give them the address to mail it directly in. Ask them if they would just continue on this campaign. This campaign is not going to end until we become in power. Now, we're looking for a million signatures within the next 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. We need to accomplish that goal. Everybody, and the only way we're going to accomplish it is if everybody gets down. Every person that is a member of National Liberty Alliance, we have about 4,000 members in National Liberty Alliance. So 4,000 members, okay, get down, and every one of them goes out and creates a sheet for 100. Right there's 400,000 signatures. okay, alone. Every state coordinator needs to get a campaign going. The state coordinators working with the other state coordinators and the county organizers and the other people within your state, you guys need to get 200 sheets filed up. Every Liberty group out there, you go to Liberty group, every Liberty group will sign it. You go in and ask if you can have 4 or 5 minutes just to talk to the people, you know, explain what the paper is about, pretty much read it off if you want. Maybe we can have someone in one of the committees write up a paragraph for people to speak, maybe a minute or two, just to introduce what we're doing on this subject. And then pass it around. And every time you get these filled out, you mail them in. Don't wait till you get 200 filled out. You get two or three filled out, or you just get one, stick it in the mail, get it in. Because it's a huge amount of paper. It has to be put into the computer, and then we have to print off 94 copies of all of those. But even after we get to that point where we're going to start filing them, we're still not going to stop the signatures. Signatures continue. We're not going to stop gathering signatures because we're going to put, when we send those million signatures in, we're going to put, this is phase one, more signatures to follow. Okay, and we're going to continue to mail in, you know, to send to these federal courts more and more signatures. And we're going to continue until we get into power and authority where the people belong. This is our nation. We own this nation. We own our own liberty. Liberty is ours, and it's not for them to tamper with. So the gun places is really good, and there's numerous other places. There's conversations going to be going on over at the media campaign area. Sheila's going to be talking in a few minutes. I'm sure she's going to cover this. And they already got a lot of other great ideas. Let's keep them going, keep it flowing. Every day, everybody, go to work with it, get your family, your neighbors, carry a paper, fold it in three, carry it, stick it in your pocket, or whatever, just keep it clean. We don't want a piece of crumbled paper, but bring it with you to work. Ask your coworkers to sign it. Bring it to your neighbor. Bring it to your friends. Bring it to events. Bring it to a party. If there's some kind of a thing going on, an event, see if you could set up a table.
Yeah. With this MMS case, you can get to your health food stores. Go to your biggest health or the small health food stores and the co-ops. And say, hey, with this MMS thing, with they're trying to put a guy in prison for supplements, all the health food stores are sympathetic to issues that pertain to food freedom and supplement sovereignty. So with this, you know, you can link the MMS thing to the health foods, you know, to the petition and say, hey, or the command, the mandamus, and say, can we leave this mandamus here? You know, it's a great response to the MMS situation here in the health food store in New York. You go to the gun stores, hey, everybody's against the new gun laws and the SAFE Act, so now they'll be sympathetic. There's almost an issue that affects every business that you can tap into and you know, strike a nerve with people if you just, you know, speak to them on their terms. Any business is going to be sympathetic, and farmers will be sympathetic with regulation, taxation, and inspections that are just putting them out of business. So use your imagination and get those petitions everywhere. Especially your smaller communities, I think you're going to find a lot of people who'll be willing to sign that. So, and I'll turn. Oh, and if people want to get going on the food, even though the link is still pending, we're waiting to get the link and the advertisement posted at the NLA. The website is called NLA Ready, and I just wanted to mention that, John, because I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, I did find it. I forgot to mention it. NLAReady.com.
There you go. So okay, I'll turn it back to you and Janet.
That's active right now. You could actually click on that link and purchase now if you wanted to. But we will have something on the right side of the website shortly. Let me just make a couple other points, and then we'll go to Janice. And on this paper that we've got for signatures, originally we had less than 100 signature spaces, but we had to push it to 100 signatures because 100 signatures on a page alone is a 4-foot-high stack of papers. So we couldn't leave it that way. We had to really crunch it up. Now, it's kind of tight, but I printed it out, and I signed a few places to see. It could be done pretty easily by most people. You might get someone that's got bad eyesight, and they may take up two spaces. Big deal, no big thing. It is what it is. But we had to push it. It is a little tight. Now make sure on the top of the page where they're writing, you know, an introduction to what this is, there's a space there. And whoever is handling the paperwork needs to write in the state you're in. So just write that state in up on the top and, you know, you give it to the people to use it, to work it, or whoever downloads it. But the other thing is that And next to each signature is a place for your county. It is extremely important they understand we are coming from all 3,134 counties or whatever exactly it is. We are coming from all the counties across the nation. So we want people to just sign your name and print the county that they live in. Okay, it's extremely important we get those counties in there. And then someone put the state on, whatever state you're in, that paper is being signed in. Okay, with that, we'll be talking a lot about that. Probably every week we'll be pushing. We need to pump, pump, pump. We'll be sending out emails on this. Everybody, we've got to get the word out, get things going. By the way, we were just interviewed, Gerard and myself were interviewed on Liberty. Gerard, help me on this. What was the name of that site? It was a radio interview and Liberty. Give me a minute. I'm looking it up as we speak. Okay, Liberty Beacon. Okay, Liberty Beacon. This group has about 10 sites, 10 websites. They put a lot of traffic on their websites. The gentleman Roger that's running this also does a radio program numerous radio programs a week. I think he does 12 interviews a week or something like that. He did a special interview on us. He's been writing write-ups on us for about a month now, and all good stuff. People might want to go visit his site. We should put his site up there. It's LibertyBeacon, I think, .org. Gerard, do you remember? But we'll let you know on that later. But there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of information, what's going on in the country, really good writing up there, and a lot of information that people need to have. But anyway, that interview was about an hour-long interview. It just went a couple of minutes over. It's available up on our website. All you got to do is come up and highlight media, come down and click on radio and TV interviews. And it is the last one on the list here, 15031. So it was March 1st. We did this on Sunday. March 1st, Liberty Beacon interview, okay? Okay, now we're going to go back and we're going to open up Janice is up. Janice from Virginia, go right ahead and tell us about your project in Washington, D.C. on May 1st.
Basically, Pro Se America is about exposing the judiciary, the government, and elected officials and their acts that are the acts and their actions against their oath of office. That and our first event is going to be May 1st. Law Day is an event that the ABA and all courthouses across this country celebrate. And basically, we are the yin to the yang of the American bar. The American bar is basically the judiciary, elected officials, and the government. Pro Se America is basically we the people, and supporting people, the people that have to go into court or, you know, any actions they have with the government or elected official. And the idea behind it is that when you submit a complaint against the judiciary, elected official, government, they police themselves. There is no one arm's length that comes in and does a follow-up. And that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to make sure that the officials are held accountable.
Right. And that is definitely we the people's job, and that's what we're doing here. And we want to work with you. And as a matter of fact, maybe during the week, when you have time, you work something out with Eric, and maybe we can have a private conference, Eric, you, Gerard, and myself, because I think there's a lot more we could do together. But go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry for interfering with that. Interrupting it.
So basically, May 1st is going to be Occupy the Judiciary, and it's going to be Occupy the Judiciary all across America. And we have people in each state who is going to be who are planning how to attack their states. And some of them won't be large events, some of them won't be. We also are looking to
You know, that's. Let me just interrupt you real quick on this. Let me just make one other point here. You know, when you do that, if you can, give us the information on if you got the locations in the different states where any event is taking place, and we'll make sure that maybe someone from National Liberty Alliance within that area can go down there, set up a table, and get some signatures for these things.
Oh,
but
sure.
Go ahead.
Definitely. And so,
great day for everybody to be an observer.
Right.
Basically, what we're looking to do is to get people to write up their story in a 4 or 5 page series, and with links to where people can go to read their full story. And we're going to be publishing the books, and Cato has agreed to do an event for us, or at least it's once we get the books done, they look at them. They're looking into it. We also have a wall of shame for each state, and we're looking to put up the pictures of the judges, the lawyers, the elected officials, government employees.
I love it.
Outside their oath of
office. Yeah, these are great ideas.
So basically, you can go to our website, proseamerica.net. I've done everything on my own pretty much, so it's not that great, but I'm hoping, get some volunteers or get some other help in with it. And to get it to the status it needs to be, we are strong on Facebook. We have a Facebook page for each state. I've got administrators for most of the states, not all of them. But we've already made some differences. I did write a letter to a judge, and out of that letter came all this ex parte communication and everything, and him putting out there that he would recuse himself for each lawyer to basically plead their case why he should recuse himself. So I think we can make a difference. The one thing the judges and lawyers want is secret courts, secret battles. And it's the more we expose that, the more they're not going to have that any longer. So that's basically it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate this, Janice. It sounds like you really set up some good things to do, and it matches with what we're doing. And looking forward to working with you, and hopefully you guys working with us. And let's take back America's courts and save the nation. Because look, once we take back the courts, we take back the entire government. The court is the pivoting point of taking back our nation. This is it.
Right.
You've got to take back the justice system and bring justice back to America. And any of these clowns in Washington or in your capital starts to do legislation outside of the constitutional authorities, well, it's time to let them know, excuse me, buddy, you can't bring that up, and you continue any further, we're going to remove you from office. And we do have the power to do it once we get into the power. That's the power of the grand jury. That's what we're all about, bring the power back to the people at the county level. This is grassroots. And as people here, most people that are here tonight know, but those listening in on live streams or listening to the replay on this, we are setting up administrators in every single county in America. 4 administrators we're looking for, and those are the people that will be orientating the juries, both grand jury and trial juries, making sure they understand that they have jury nullification powers. They need to understand the principles and common law, and we get 8 hours with them before they actually perform their duties as jurists. And we need to educate them properly. And then we're going to have justice in America. And now that's when these people, the tyrants will be in jail or they'll be running someplace else in the world, but certainly they won't be here.
Well, we have to really stress to people, and we have to educate them, that we're off in wars fighting for rights that we no longer have in our country.
Mm-hmm. All right, I appreciate it. Let me move over
Thank
to
you.
Sheila.
Thank you.
I'm Larrick, okay. I'm going to leave you open. Go ahead. Did you want to say a final word, Janice?
No, just thank you very much. And if, our website is proseamerica.net.
Okay, and let's try to talk during the week sometime when you get time. Get Eric, we'll get Robert, which is our national coordinator, maybe Gary if he's available. I know he's traveling the country right now doing some things, and Gerard. And we can really, there's a lot of things that we can discuss and really work together on. I can see this right now. Okay?
Great. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave you open, Eric, if you want to pipe in. I'm going to pull open. We have Donald from Michigan. Were you talking about Donald from Michigan? He came into the queue. Did you want him to?
Don, if you have anything to add.
Let me open him up because he's in the queue, so he has something to say. Then we'll go to Sheila. Don from Michigan. Go right ahead. Donald from Michigan, you've been unmuted. Go right ahead. 248-705. Okay, I don't know if he's still there. I'll leave him open. If you, go ahead. You there, Donald?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just wanted to thank Eric for the announcement about the case coming up this week on Thursday. And I just wanted to confirm that it was Thursday the 5th at 2 p.m. at 231 West Lafayette Boulevard. That's the courthouse right downtown Detroit, room 272. And the judge is Marianne O. Batani.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Don?
Nope, that's it. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you. Okay, and I'm sure, Eric, you'll be sending out an email to remind people of this and, you know.
Yes, I'd like our Michigan State coordinator to do that. I tried to relay a message, I think. If that hasn't gone through, if they, you could
okay, Michigan,
clarify.
Michigan State Coordinator, get in touch with Eric. Bob, maybe you can make sure that that happens, that Eric and the State Coordinator for Michigan talk in order to help in this court case. Okay, let me open up Sheila. Go right ahead, Sheila. You got the mic. Eric,
Hi.
You're still here
Hi.
If you want to pipe in. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Sheila, and I'm from Orange County, New York, and I work with the media campaign team. And we have meetings every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we just pretty much go over ideas, suggestions, and we work on ways to spread National Liberty Alliance and far and wide. So we're open to any ideas, and I try to make it pretty easy for people, you know, to come to the website, and if you mouse over groups, a box will drop down, and it'll say Media Campaign Group. You can come there at your leisure, and you can pick up a Twitter phrase, you can pick up a slogan, you can add, you can post your ideas. Our whole mission is to get the word out. This is the whole purpose of it. So we, you know, we welcome your time. It doesn't matter if it's, like John said, if it's an hour a day or if you can give more. And if you can't come to the meetings, you know, please come to the website and use all the tools that's there and available, you know, to help to get the word out. So also I want to welcome Jan, and thank you, Eric. He does a marvelous job over in Court Observers. And we're working on a few things. I'm still waiting on the page, John, but as what I'm saying is as soon as this specific thing gets corrected, I will also be sharing, like, the attachments where there are signs that we're, you know, working on where they can be put on the side of the road to, homemade billboards, if you will. So I don't want
to
take up too much more of time.
Yeah, try to get a hold of me tomorrow, Sheila. I know I've been really, really busy, and I've had a lot of things. I've been running out of the office, oh, goodness, last week and even today. Yes, yeah, today I've been out most of the day, but I should be in the office
totally
all day
understand.
Tomorrow. Let's get a hold. Mm-hmm. Let's call to Brian because he's been over a week now. We got to get this. We're going to get it solved tomorrow. I'll call his boss if he doesn't fix this tomorrow. We got to get it done. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, great.
And,
so that's about it. We just, you know, welcome you to come and join us.
Hey,
and
thank
you, John. Thank
you, Sheila. Let me just repeat this. You come on to nationallibertyalliance.org, and once you sign in, and you don't have to be signed in, I don't think, to see this area, but in order to comment, you have to sign in or to join the group. But there's an area called Groups. It's at the far right side, right next to the Juris tab, in between the Political and the Juris tab. Highlight Groups, and you'll see the Courtroom Observers group. You'll see the Media Campaign group. You'll also see Find Your Own State group. Each state has a group. And you'll also find the Media Campaign Files, which we are working on getting that page active shortly. Hopefully the next day or two we'll have some stuff up on there. But there'll be a lot of stuff. But on the Media Campaign group, You know, we have a board there, and there's lots of conversations and information and ideas going on. So as Sheila said, if you can't make it to the Thursday night meeting, you can from time to time at your own pleasure, any time of the day or night, go out to the board, post your thoughts and your ideas and the areas of interest that you'd be interested in helping or giving some ideas about. And get involved, get plugged in. Everybody needs to get involved. Only the people can save America. We got to get up here and do this. There's no more time for sitting around. If you're not working, shame on you. You got to do something. Everybody has got to get out here and let's get working to save America. You know, the Constitution is not going to apply itself. Only we, the people, can apply the Constitution and make these tyrants obey the law and put them in place or put them in jail, one or the other. Let's see where we're at here now. Is there anyone else in the queue that we want to talk to? Okay, that was it for right now, so let me clear the queue for the moment. We'll be opening the queue back up in a minute, but what I want first, I want everyone to give... First is everyone to give a few minutes in order for those people who have never had a chance to talk or have been trying to talk for weeks and haven't had the opportunity to talk. Let's let them into the queue right now. So for the next, I'd say 5 minutes or so, only those people should start getting into the queue. And in about 5 minutes, it's 10:39, so 10:44, others who talk often or whatever, they can start getting in. We're only going to take one question or one comment from each individual, and if they want to pick up another subject matter, they'll have to get out of it. When we push them out of the queue after their turn, they can get back into the queue and get back in line again. And hopefully we'll get to them before the evening is out. We'll do the best we can. Now, we also are taking questions through email. We have some questions here in email. I'm going to go through that first, and then we're going to open the queue and get some conversations here in the room. If you want to ask a question or make a comment in email, don't make it long-winded because I'm quick to hit the delete button on long-winded stuff. But if you have questions or comments and you want to do it by email, you can do it by email. Go to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, let me repeat that. Email your questions to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay? Okay. Let me go through some questions that we do have. And some of them are pretty good questions. So question number one, once you get 1 million signatures, what is the next step? Well, we've got about 8 papers to file. And that is, and this signatures will be filed with the 8th paper, and the power and the authority and the buildup of pressure on these people is really what's going to get us into the courts. But we're not going to end with that paper. We got other papers to file, and we're going to continue to file, and it's going to continue to put the heat on these people. And I want to tell you, one paper is stronger to the next one, to the next. This is really building up. Some of the papers that we have written, once you see them, you're going to say, wow, this is powerful stuff. How can they ignore this and sleep at night? Because they shouldn't be able to. Okay. Anyway, pay attention to what we're doing and get involved and see, read the papers, and you'll see what the plan really is. The Quo Warranto is a key paper that we filed, and that has already been filed, of course, and after that, someone's got a voice coming through. Who's talking? Okay, that's Sheila. Let me mute her. Okay. Gerard, go through the mute area, you know, the mute button list, and make sure everyone that was in the queue has been muted again so we don't have people talking live over the call. Okay. So anyway, there's a lot to do, but the Quo Warranto was a very important paper. It was the first paper filed. We're now doing mandamuses, and all of this is coming to an end. We're going to end at the beginning, so to speak. So how is this thing supposed to lead to more liberty? I don't get it. If it's supposed to persuade someone of how a vote is going to go, well, that person who asked these questions, and I don't know the name of this person because this was brought in by one person, the other person had these questions. But the answer to that one is we have nothing to do with voting. We're not asking anyone to vote for anything. We the people have the authority by the power invested in us, we the people, to do what we need to do, and we've laid it out what they need to do in the Constitution, and we reserved all these rights to ourselves, we the people. So we're not asking them to vote for anything. It won't because politicians hire pollsters to figure that out, and pollsters design their surveys to reflect the voting population, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it has nothing to do with the political process. We don't care. We're not asking them for nothing. We're telling them what they need to do, and we're going to apply the court system, the judicial process here in America, to make them do what they need to do. That will happen soon. Okay, this is interesting. This word is a created word, recently created word, and I'm kind of, I know I printed this out. Let me see if I find this. I got to go look for this. I'll skip this one. I may come back to this question because this is an interesting word. It's called slacktivism. And I couldn't find this word in the dictionary anywhere. Maybe I do have this information here. Wikipedia said it's a combination of the words slacker and activism. It's a contemporary word, new-founded, in my opinion. It's gibberish. They don't know what to do, so they call it, they make up a word, a slack division, and they give it a meaning. Now, the word describes feel-good measures in support of an issue or social cause that have little physical or practical effect other than to make the person doing it feel satisfied that they have contributed. Let me see what else they have here. Okay, basically, again, it's a made-up word. It has nothing to do with what we're doing, and we're not here to make ourselves feel good. We're here to actually take back the power and the authority. And it's interesting, they don't have anything, so they make these words up. I'm sure they didn't make these words up for us particularly. It is on Wikipedia right now. I don't know how long it's been up there, but I can't find it in any dictionary. It doesn't exist, so it's a contemporary word, and it was made up in order to go after the Liberty Group movements. Ah, you're just making yourself feel good. Ah, you're getting signatures. It doesn't mean anything, you know. But really,
I think it's a good word for the talking heads like Rush Limbaugh and those people that just get out there and make people feel good,
mm-hmm.
like they have a place to go and bitch about things.
Yeah, well, again, most of the groups, they're trying to deal with problems, but they don't have the solution. So they talk about the problems, but they don't offer the solutions because they can't find the solution. They're searching. So I appreciate that. But anyway, it's a gibberish word, in my opinion. Now, someone writes this also, and this comes from the same person, quite a few questions from the same person. I looked a little into this National Liberty Alliance. They are setting up common law grand juries. They want one in every county, and they are having trouble getting sheriffs and county recorders, et cetera, to pay attention to them. The sticking point seemed to be the authority or lack thereof or their grand juries. I don't know if they have a brief or something that sets forth their argument for why their grand juries have authority to hand down an indictment or onto an equal footing with state-appointed grand juries. Isn't that something? If they do, I would like to see it. I would believe there is no statutory authority. It would come from English common law as it existed in the time of the Revolution, which forms a part of the law of Oregon, according to an old copy of Oregon laws I once saw. So this person really doesn't understand, like most of us, and I was the same way. I didn't understand. You know, you figure the government's going to make the laws, we got to obey them, and they got the authority under the Constitution, but we never really go to look at that Constitution to see if they really do have the authority, and that is the problem. They don't have the authority. 99%, I do not believe I'm exaggerating, 99%, probably the number's too low, 99%. 99% of what our government is doing is unconstitutional. And remember, you know, there's nothing wrong with our government. The structure is fine. Everything's in place. Everything we need is there. The problem is the subverters that have taken over our government. That's the problem. And those are the people we need to put in jail. Okay, anyway.
Hey, John, also on the last question where he thought about we were asking for the courts to vote, you read earlier tonight that out of Black's Law Dictionary, I believe, that you can open a court of record a number of different ways, and one of them was by writ, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're exercising that right, and that's where our authority comes from.
Exactly.
Comes from the words of our forefathers. So we have a right to open up a court of record by writ, which is exactly what we did, and they don't have a right to ignore it. See,
2,000 years of history goes beyond our founding fathers. It's 2,000 years of history of what we're talking about, this power of opening a court of record with a writ. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah. People have to stop thinking like slaves. You know, they've done a real good job of giving us a slave mentality and always looking for somebody else to fix things and believing that the government is this omnipotent thing. Look, we bequeath the power to them, but they work for us. They're our servants, and we have to get that mindset. You know, we as a people together, when we form a group and community, we can absolutely order that government what to do, and that's what we're doing. So I just wanted to say that, you know, we are following time-honored authorities, okay? I yield, man.
Okay, thank you, Gerard. All right, and anyway, look at, you know, all of these questions that have been asked here, the answers are in our page that we had mentioned, the media page or the court filing page, both the same. Click on that, read the papers, and every question is answered there. You know, once you start to realize what we're doing, and we're educating the sheriffs, you know, if the people don't know what to do, educate them. That's what Jefferson said. If our servants don't know what to do, let's educate them. They may not understand us and who we are, but they'll figure it out soon. Eventually they'll understand. We get the papers to them. Once they start reading it, and they're not all going to read it, you know, all the sheriffs and all the other individuals, but some of them will. And the ones who will lead the others and say, what are you talking about? You better go look to see what these people are writing about. This is the people. This is the movement. This is what our founding fathers were all about. This is what we, the people, need to be all about. And we need to get behind the people. They're right. And we do have much more authority. We do have the power. And we, the sheriffs working with the people, can take this nation back. Once the sheriffs figure this out and the marshals understand this, game over. Game over. You see, that is the biggest focus. Everybody asks me, where is enforcement? Where is enforcement? Enforcement is in the people. And the people have to educate their elected individuals that have a responsibility to enforce the law. And those are the sheriffs and the marshals. So we have a responsibility because they're as dumbed down as we were. We are educating ourselves now. We need them to educate themselves. And believe me, when they understand the power and they understand the authority and they see what the people are doing and they read the papers and they see the crimes, game over for these tyrants. Okay. One last part. Let me see if I should just... Let me just read this. Please note that Jim Humble has... written me, asking me to send us information, blah, blah, blah. Okay, hello, this is Adam. Just wanted to let everyone know that Daniel Smith is going to court for the final time early this coming March with his future on the line, along with the fate of MMS products also. Daniel Smith and his family, and Eric, I see if you can unmute Eric. I don't know if he's gotten any more information on this guy. But anyway... Daniel Smith and his family, for all those out there that have been using MMS for some time, then you will be familiar with Daniel's plight and persecution by the FDA going on for the past 5 years. Please visit the following websites, blah, blah, blah. Okay, look it. The FDA is going after him. We're going to work on a paper on this. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to be calling for a meeting shortly. It'll be a national meeting to come in to vote to go forward with a mandamus on this. We want to do a show cause. By what authority do these people think they're acting up by? And we want to do one not only on the FDA going after this guy, we also want to do one on that judge. By what authority does he think he has the ability to hear this case that's going to affect all of us people here throughout this great nation? And so we want to know. Eric, did you find Eric?
No, I'm still looking. He's not in the queue, so I got to go through the big
yeah.
list.
All right. Well, when you find him, wherever we're at, you can just unmute him, and we'll see if he has anything to pipe in for
the
information.
Or get in the queue, Eric.
Yeah, but it's hard to find him in the queue, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Well, anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
I think I just found him. Hold on. Is this him? Eric, you've just been unmuted. Did you get any new information, the date or anything? Because I want to tell you something. This is a case we have to get on top of. If you don't understand it, get to learn about it. We're going to do some papers on this. We're going to call for a meeting, and we're going to put some stuff together to see about going forward with a mandamus. Eric, can you add anything to this? No,
today was getting New Manna Foods trying to get that up and running, but tomorrow I'm going to work on the MMS thing. So by tomorrow, at the end of the day, maybe this time tomorrow night or a little earlier, I'll have some words for you on that. But we should all get down there to his case as observers. I'm going to post a request for that one.
He is in Westchester, isn't he? The case is being heard. Look, when I heard video, and when I saw the video, they had the Westchester courthouse building there. I knew exactly where that was. I've been down by that courthouse. So I'm presuming it's Westchester.
Yeah, it's infamous for tyranny down there. So we'll get the details up so everybody can get involved on that. This is an important case because this is going to affect not only your vitamin and supplement sovereignty, but your overall food freedom as well. And it just reeks of globalization of food standards under the Codex standards that come out of the UN, and it's really insidious what they're doing to farmers and food suppliers right now. So we need to stand behind this guy if we're going to retain our food freedom.
I'm going to count on you to get me, you know, maybe help me work with a paper for the technical side of these things. We'll talk about that tomorrow, though, okay?
Very good.
All right, thanks, Eric. Let me mute him back. Did you mute him back, Gerard, or did I lose his place?
No, I didn't touch anything, so.
Okay, there, I got it. Okay. Okay, all right, now we're going to move over to questions and answers. Gerard, you want to pick it up from here, and I'll pipe in from time to time?
Sure. Okay, we have Anonymous. Well, the
yes, good evening, John.
Who's that?
Hi, I have a question.
Okay. This is who? Where are you from?
The question is related to this raid that was done about 2 weeks ago on the Republic of Texas.
Yeah, what's your first name in your state? What's your first name in your state?
Lisa, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Go ahead, Lisa.
So my question is, I wanted to know, John, if you had any thoughts on that, because that raid was precipitated by a document to subpoena a judge in before the Republic of Texas's court and local and federal law enforcement to raid that meeting.
Was that a group acting outside of the courtroom?
Yes.
Huh?
I think it was more along the lines of them putting a paper in that they could say simulates their court.
Right.
And so they raided them because they went after a judge. And I think it was an indictment, you know. I mean, much the same like what we do. Mm-hmm. But you see, they're operating outside the court and they're given official looking positions, and I think they crossed a line where it allowed them to come in after them, even though it was stretching the credibility of the court. They did it anyway to make an example, I believe.
Yeah, look, you got to be real careful doing what we're doing and what they're doing. Our papers are very, 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 we're very, very careful in the wording of our papers. And the first thing we did when we started putting this stuff together to see how we're going to come out and do this is we came up with the common law grand juries. You see, right there took us out of their status. And they responded to us in that fashion, okay? And therefore, they brought us into the proper jurisdiction as far as where we're coming from, telling us, well, that jurisdiction isn't there no more. And, of course, that's a lie. And then they got to be real careful. We just don't go out after any case. We have to be very, very careful where we go. We really want to just stick with cases that really gets us into the courts. Now, there are some issues that we want to pick up on that are important that maybe will also help to kind of, springboard us into the media, because we're really trying to do that. And I think that's going to happen soon. As a matter of fact, I really think we're about ready to hit critical mass. I think it's coming up soon. It's starting to form, and I'm starting to see that critical mass is starting to mount. And that's even more the reason why the people that are already members of National Liberty Alliance that have been listening and getting a little educated and understand what's going on, it's more the reason why you have to get into these positions and to take the authority and become involved with us so that we're able to deal with all of these people. When we hit that critical mass, we're going to have a great influx of people. And a lot of those people are going to be looking to take power. And a lot of them are going to be looking to take it with the wrong state of mind, maybe with vengeance, maybe with they want to go out and, you know, just get vengeance on people. People maybe because of ego. We get a lot of people that try to take power because they're really operating under ego, and so it's the wrong frame of mind. And so we have to be in position to prevent those people from taking power and authority by being the authority as they come in, by being the teachers to them, to bring to them the principles, to change their thinking and their understanding. Because right now everybody's frightened and right now everybody's angry. And, you know, we're not going in to take vengeance on anybody. We just want these people to obey the law, and that's the first order of business. Again, people need to get involved. But with these people, I don't know exactly what these people are doing, but they probably
I want to say one thing. A lot of these groups, and I believe the Republic of Texas is one of them, what they're doing is they're calling themselves judges, and they're calling themselves like elected officials, like they're putting in another governor and that type of stuff. You see, when we went into the court, we went in as the people, as the common law grand jury, which is mentioned in the Fifth Amendment, and that's where we belong. We belong in the court. We're not simulating anything. We are the people, and we have U.S. versus Williams that says, look, the common law grand jury rises out of the people. That U.S. versus Williams really, really, really did protect us because they knew that they couldn't go against that, and they had no answer for it, and that's our protection. If you start setting things up outside the court, you start calling yourself a judge or any other kind of official, right away they have the ability to say you're impersonating an officer. You see, who are we impersonating? The people? No, that's who we are. Where do we belong? We belong in the court. Look at U.S. versus Williams. You see, they can't come after us because we are in our rightful place doing the rightful things that the people need to do. So you have to be very, very careful. And I understand their frustration where they want to replace these judges and put good people in. But, you know, they only recognize that voting booth with the lever. And that's how you get in there. And they're not going to recognize anybody else that puts themselves in, even a group of people. That's not the process. You see, we're doing a process that was even laid out. It says we are not any of the other three branches of government, and they can't tell us what to do. They can't tell us how to assemble. So we really have kind of a constitution, almost like a manifesto there with U.S. versus Williams, that is protecting us. And anything else outside of that, that's why John is always so very, very careful about filing any other paper or hooking up with any other group that has these other ideas. And they're not wrong. They're not necessarily wrong. But their process and their procedure can be attacked. And look at, we know people go to jail on technicalities in court. And it is kind of a technicality that they're going after them. But nevertheless, they can make it stick and they can hang it on them. And that's exactly what they'll do. So that's all I want to say about that. You know, pretty much I believe that's what's going on. Plus, they're talking about seceding from the union. And that's a very touchy subject, you know, as far as the United States goes.
Okay, gentlemen,
anybody
thanks very much.
Yep, okay.
All right, appreciate it. And yeah, look, I agree with Gerard on this, and that's the key thing. You know, Williams' case really identifies us as the referee between the government and the people, and we're the authority for that. And remember, you know, we're sitting on the king's bench, and we are government under God. We are one nation under God. Our declaration called out to God, and put us underneath God. We have unalienable rights. He gave it to us. The Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution, rightly said that we have the blessings of liberty. It comes from God. Okay. And so when we go into a court, we're going into the king's court. The question is what's the name of the king? Who's the king? You know, so to speak, we kind of are, but we really aren't. The real king is King God, the governor of the universe. That's the king. So when we go on to the king's bench, okay, then we need to be acting under the attributes of God. We have to come with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. We really have to be bringing justice and righteousness into that court. And we have to be very careful not to get to run astray from that. And that's why we have to remind each other all the time what we're all about. We're about justice, honor, and mercy. That's what we're about. We have to bring this up all the time. And the maxims that we talk about, you know, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured body. And for every injury, there must be a remedy. You know, this is where the basis we act upon. And with those principles and those maxims, anybody can sit as a jurist because they're qualified at that point. Once they get it and they hold those principles and we remind each other in that jury that this is how we're supposed to act and correct someone when they're not acting under that kind of an action, under those premises, then as long as we correct each other, we're okay. And we'll get the job done and we'll go to sleep at night at the end of our decision because we did the right thing. But we're on the king's court, and the king's court is the governor of the universe. And look at, either it's his court or it's the government's court, because right now it's the government's court. Right now they have a statutory grand jury, statutory juries. They're under their will, under their thumb. They have all the powers over them. Again, we have to be careful not to get caught up into the statutory thing, extremely dangerous. We believe, I am absolutely convinced, my research has absolutely, and it's all up on everything we've looked at, it's up on the website, we put everything up there. Look at, I'm absolutely convinced there's no other way to save the nation other than the way we're doing it. And we have to do it in the courts that we own. Those are our courts. They do not belong to these tyrants, and we'll take them away from them. And we're doing it right now. It's just going to take a little time and eventually to build up when the people start to understand. Because like I said earlier, these judges don't understand yet. I think they're going to start to get it real soon. Some of them might already start to understand that court is open and in session. And they are being judged right now by we the people under the grand jury and the million people. Hopefully we're going to get those signatures behind us. But you know, that's how we're going to take this nation back. But to go out and work in the back room of Denny's, I've seen a lot of bad stuff go on. I heard some horror stories of a few situations like that. You know, just misplaced justice, misplaced good intentions, and that have gone into a horror, and they actually have done things that are evil just as what they're trying to correct. We can't be self-righteous on this thing, and we have to use the process. Okay. Next caller.
Okay. Four. What is that? Hang on. I can't see here. Four.
No, you got someone above that. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, wait a minute. What'd they do? Jump down?
Yeah. Scroll it up.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Well, try hitting the next question. That should open
I got
up.
It.
We'll leave it
Go
there.
Ahead.
Okay.
Hello? Hello, John? Is it, can you hear me?
Well, I see Speak the Truth here. That sounds like Rick.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm hearing who's talking right now?
Hello, John. This is Irina.
Irina. Yeah, I don't know how you got unmuted. How did you unmute Irina?
There.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't even see her.
Are you coming through Speak the Truth?
She's not in the
Yeah,
queue.
But is she coming through Rick?
Rick, can you hear us, Rick?
Say a couple of words quickly, and that's over. John, I just wanted to advocate for people who, like me, they like everybody injured, but everybody injured sometimes different, sometimes to the point that couldn't really function much.
Yeah. She's coming through Rick's phone.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. So I just wanted to say that we gladly would be signing, and I can give you give some people that are absolutely in a horrible condition. They can't do much, but they will be signing. And
okay, yeah,
get
a hold of the state coordinator and do what you can in the city and make sure you're working with, everyone in New York, because you're in New York. Everyone in New York should be working together on signatures and reporting to the state coordinator that, hey, I got two or three pages and I'm sending them in. You know, send them direct. You don't have to send them to the state coordinator. And we have the address on the instruction sheet. There's an instruction sheet there, too, and where to send these papers. And fill them out. Everybody must get involved. And as you bring new people in and new groups, you can ask them, hey, you know, would you continue to go out and get signatures for us also? Get them involved with us. Get them out to our front page. Get them to join our endeavor. Let's save the nation. But go ahead, Irina. You go ahead, Irina. Yeah? What happened?
She left.
Oh, no, let me unmute her. Huh?
We also have a letter that Department of Justice, Criminal Division, stating that pro se litigants do not have to have due to the process. They undo. They don't deserve to the process. Maybe we can add it to the Sheila's web.
Yeah, talk to her about that. But yeah, they can't tell you don't have due process access to due process as a pro se. And yeah, courts will do that. We got to be careful. We have to write the right things in the paperwork. Everything is, you know, look, your whole court case. It all really is built upon the first paper that you file. That first paper you have filed, whether you're coming in as the plaintiff to start the case or you're coming in as the injured party because they've come out after you wrongly and you are the plaintiff and you turn that around and become the plaintiff, either way, you have to establish your jurisdiction. You have to establish everything in your first paper. They need to understand that you are a problem to them, and they need to do the right thing. And that's, it's on the one hand a difficult thing, but once you really go through and study the things that we put up, you'll start to see it's a lot easier than you realize because it's not that complex. We have a jurisdiction paper. Use that jurisdiction paper in your court papers.
And we find out something amazing about two executive orders that actually, that's what who is doing us and how everything is done. We didn't know that in the beginning, but now we finally can. It was like in the process of getting more and more information, but when we finally will finish that, you will be amazed what some people going through, not just the courts, not just the banks, not just all city agencies, but law enforcement goes after them, and they don't even know why.
Right. Yeah, because they don't understand the law either. All right, let us take our next caller. We appreciate it. Thanks. Okay, go ahead. I think you got Mark up there, Gerard. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Gerard, go ahead.
This is Mark from Orlando, Florida, administrator, and just wanted to announce that on Thursday, March 5th, they're having a Common Core demonstration at Tallahassee, Florida. And those are the type of people that are our type of people that want to get involved.
Absolutely.
So if we want to get signatures or anything, if we have anybody up in Tallahassee, that'd be a good opportunity.
Well, definitely talk to your state court. You're the state coordinator, you said, Mark?
No. I'm not. No, I think Frank Marcaccio is.
Get a hold of Frank. You're right. That's who it is. Get a hold of Frank and talk with him and others, and let's make sure we find someone to get down to that event. This is the kind of activity. Someone in the one side of the state knows that something else is in the other side of the state. Get to the meeting. Get to the state coordinator. Say, hey, there's an event going over there. Who do we have close by? We need to get someone over there for signatures. Let me tell you right now, the most important thing that we can do right now is everybody get involved with the signature campaign. And this is not this. We're not. We don't have a. We're not asking them anything. This is not a petition. And we purposely make that point on the top of the paper. This is not a petition. It's in the form of a petition. But really, it's a mandamus from the people. Their signatures are being tapped into what we, the people, are doing as the jurist in order to command these people to do the right thing through mandamuses. And their signatures are attached to that because they're saying, we agree, obey the Constitution. That's the end result.
So I think it's Frank and Sarah Meeks that are handling that. Okay, well, I just wanted to announce it here so you can, anybody in Georgia or anything, can stop down for that, because that ought to be a decent-sized event. I yield.
Thank you. Hey, Gerard, when you go to the next person, click the next question button up there. I think we're caught up now.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to do that now. Next person, you're beyond muted, 0445 unknown.
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Gerard.
Hi. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Edward from Connecticut.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I know John. I spoke to him, you know, way back in the beginning, and his, pet peeves, you know, among all the things that he's working on. I know the family court and the probate court, you know, is something that really is something that he knows is out of control. There was something happened in the family court recently, and that's the whole thing. You know, I'm looking at anything that just doesn't look right, and to prove the point that these courts are no good. You know, and what happened, and is real quick, in a family court about a month ago. A judge made a ruling against a gentleman that put him out of the house that he was living in, and all because of a woman made up a claim of just that she felt threatened, and there was no crime, there was no arrest, and
hearsay,
no conviction.
Hearsay, they call it.
Right, and this man who is living there for a few years, you know, and only because of her word, and there's no, she didn't even testify. In other words, there was no ever violence to her, ever, never was struck. And the judge was clear. You know, he asked all the standard questions. Did he push you? Did he shove you? All this kind of stuff. She said no. And then there's really no threat of even physical violence at all, and just that she's afraid of him. And now immediately when he made the ruling, he said 90-day restraining order, and immediately he couldn't go back to the place. So I'm looking at this as like a constitutional violation, keeping him away from his personal property that he has, and of course, you know, being taking him from his home. And on nothing. There's no, you know, I understand that people are taken out of homes because of they've done something, it's some kind of crime, an arrest or something like that. But to do it without anything, just on somebody's word.
They do it every single day. Every single day they do it. And let me tell you something. Family court is not used to getting pushed back. And I would tell anybody that goes into family court, well, like John says, you know, you file paperwork, and that first paper lays out the jurisdiction, and you get it out of there as quick as you can. And if you have to sue everybody, including the judge, you do that too. They don't like that. They don't know how to handle that. But even the court watchers, if you can get court watchers in there, they're going to tell, oh, well, you can't come in. This is family court. That's baloney. You know, unless they're going to have a closed hearing for a specific reason, like some kind of abuse, they have to let people in, and you're going to see those judges and those people in there are not used to people watching what they do. If you turn the light on, you get a whole different attitude. And when they see that you're going to push back and you have the resources and the people to do that, boy, let me tell you what, they want to get you out of there as quick as you can. A lot of time, therein is your victory, because you become like a sore or a scab to them, and they'll get you out of there as quick as they can. We've seen it. And I think it's the only way to go. And I would take no prisoners. You know what I mean? I mean, that girl said she was scared. I guess she's entitled to feel scared. But she didn't make any false statements in as far as he hit me or he did this or he did that. Because if she did, the first thing I would do is I would take her to task for file charges on false claims, you know. And I mean, really, that judge should be brought up on charges because he asked her, did he do this? Did he do that? I mean, what did he base his thing on, that she felt scared? Well, maybe she has a guilty conscience for taking him there in the first place. Maybe that's why she's scared, you know, because it's her own mind torturing her. But I just want to say, you get in there and you bring people in, it's a horrible, evil system. Until we get in the courts, it's not going to be fixed. You know, they make a lot of money on the probate courts and on the family courts, too. They take your kid away from you, and then they make you spend $50-$60 an hour for a supervised visitation, and everybody's mm-hmm. making money along the way, and that's all it's about.
Right. Yeah.
So we could beat this to death all night, but let me tell you what, it is a very dirty system, and one of the things that drives us to get this done.
Right. Well, that's what I said in the beginning, right? That's I pick out these things to prove the point to people. And I know what you mean, obviously, but there is some specific, though, that I did want to ask. And as far as I noticed that there isn't, so immediately, of course, you got the transcript together, you know, so we got that. And then also immediately he filed a modification for modification. That's the only way to get back before the judge, you see. And so that's something he did. But this is what I've noticed. And here's the inconsistency, is that where is like a motion to open or to appeal or anything? Now, think about this. Family court makes a decision. How come it's not appealable?
Well, it actually is, but you got to know what you're doing. See, that's the problem. People don't know what they're doing. And if you got an attorney, it's even worse because they just go with the flow.
Right.
And it's definitely appealable. Look, the other thing is that if you don't know how to conduct yourself in court, it's very hard. You know, one of the things that you need to do is you need to put on the record the bad behavior of the judge, because it won't go on there by itself. You have to actually stand there and say, let the record show that the judge is being biased. Let the record show. And then what you do is you say, I want you to recuse yourself because obviously there's something going on here. Maybe you have a relationship with this girl you're not telling us about. I would make any accusation I could, short of getting thrown into jail. And I would just say, let the record show, because then they have to put it on the record. And if there ever is a judicial oversight, when they look at it, what they do is they look at that transcript. And if you don't state it, that court reporter is not going to write it. See, when you say let the record show, and you should have people taking notes every time you say that so that your notes can jive with the transcript. Excuse me. So that's the best advice. I don't want to get lost in this thing. We got other people, but
you get the general idea.
There's a procedure you should follow, and you got to have a head on, a court head. And I don't know what to tell anybody. I mean, my goodness, there's even if you got the world's best lawyer, it's just it's really bad. White male, you're like really in trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Gerard, I understand 100% what you're saying as far as, you know, as far we could go with this. But, you know, this thing here, it's almost like you think about it, you know, it's like an impossibility. Someone could just do something. I mean, where is the Constitution on this thing? In other words, you can't take away somebody's right to their property for no crime.
Well, you know, he could file lawsuits on everybody, but the thing is he has to know how to do it. And most people, when they end up in family court, they end up with no money. It's just a really bad situation. If you can't write papers yourself, you know what I mean? I mean, I would sue the judge for that decision right there, because what he's doing is he's unlawfully imprisoning you, taking you out of your house under color of law on hearsay. And I would push a hearing just on that, and I would make a whole lawsuit just on that. By the time they get done with you, there's no judges want to take your case when you sue them all. And that's the best advice I could give you. Just go in and, okay, and take no prisoners, you know. They stick their fingers out, you cut them off. And, I mean, you got to be, look, you're fighting for your life in there. You have to, like, you have to get your game face on, you know. It's and you can't be weak. You know, kindness is equated with weakness. So right, you really got to go in and you got to be vicious because they're vicious. And, you know, I mean, we had one guy in and he pointed to the judge and the law guardian and I forget who else. And he said, I'm going to hold you and you responsible if anything happens to my kid. And they said, oh, we don't like that. He said, you know, well, I don't care if you don't like it, you know. So right away, they know when you get somebody that stands up there and points their finger back at them, they're not used to that. Believe me. You know, the psyops is on their side. You have to turn it around. And I think we'll end with that. And, I mean, look, get some people there.
Okay, listen. Gerard?
Yeah.
Okay. I got you, and I'm going to pass that on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Gerard, one quick thing.
Yeah.
He has, like, 100% reason to believe that she, now listen to this, she was recording him thinking that he would mess up, okay? You know, during, okay. Now, because she was doing the recording, and then she's going to bring her phone into court, now, could this gentleman say to the judge that, well, look, she's been recording all this, order her to turn over the phone?
Yeah, but he won't do it. You're right, but he won't do it. I know how they are. They're evil. And look, is this in New York State?
They should call Eric and work something with Eric.
Yeah, I would talk to Eric because Eric understands this. See, in New York State, over here, only one party has to know that it's one party in the conversation.
This is the thing, Gerard and John. Listen, since she was recording it, and then since he is saying it's okay, that means it's two-party consent. Because if she's recording it with her phone or $600 S5, right, then that means, you know, she's doing it, and then he's consenting.
Yeah, but he's up against the eight ball. If she doesn't want to bring that recording in, she could say, my phone lost it. I mean, look, come on. The judge could tell her to bring it in. She could say whatever she wants. She's probably got an attorney. Drop that phone in the river, you lost it, or whatever.
Gerard, it will be a surprise. She's going to go to court with the phone, and then
she's stupid enough to show up in court with the phone, then yes, he could say, I want to enter into evidence so-and-so's phone. He could do that. I mean, he could enter that phone into evidence. He could subpoena it, and I wouldn't do it till the court date. If he knows she's there, then he should have a paper drawn up ahead of time saying, I want to subpoena that piece of evidence, the phone in that is in her hand right now that has the recording of our conversation. That's the only way he's going to get it, if he does it by surprise and he does it in the court. Okay? Now, you just got all of my best advice. So.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. That's fantastic. See, the thing about that subpoena to be already filled out. See, he was going to surprise in court, but it wasn't going to be in a subpoena form. So you see, you did come up with something really great.
Yeah, you got to have it done because they'll finagle around and then they won't do it. You have to have it done ahead of time, and you have to say, I have a subpoena here. And whatever, however you got to do it, notarize it, whatever, you do the subpoena. And she has the phone right now. I want it confiscated right now before she destroys the evidence. And if you let her destroy the evidence, then it's on your head. Blah 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 blah. So you know you have to be very very aggressive. Okay.
I got it, and I'll keep you guys posted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Okay. Our next question is Arizona Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, this is the first time you've actually recognized my name when I call in. As always, whoever you are, identify yourself.
Well, it's right here. I could read it. Yes. Go ahead.
I have three things I want to say. It's only going to take me like 2 minutes, and you guys can comment on however. As far as the mailing all of that, the stuff you were talking about earlier in the show, I might suggest that there's I think a 1790s law that has never been changed or abrogated about mailing, and it's fixed the price of mailing at 3 cents out of state per ounce and 2 cents in state per ounce.
Yeah, we're familiar with that. What it is it's 2 cents within the postal district that you're mailing, in other words, within town, and it's 3 cents if it goes into another postal district, whether it's from New York to California, it doesn't matter. But that's only for the drop mail, which is really the letter sizes. And we are executing that. We've been executing that for quite some time. When we send packages, this is going to be look at this. This mail is we're talking papers stacking from the floor 4 foot high. That's a million signatures. With 100 signatures on each paper, that's 10,000 pages. That's 20 reams. And so when we mail that, we're not going to get that 3 cents an ounce. But
I figured you already knew it, but I had to say something.
Yeah,
I figured you already knew it.
Yeah, we are executing that. As a matter of fact, we've been mailing for 3 cents for a long time. Most people that mail me stuff mail 3 cents, and I get it all the time.
The other thing is, I have a suggestion on the signatures that you're trying to garner. I think that they should be distributed proportionally according to the population of each state. I would try to figure that out and give it to you, but I don't have access to internet to get that information. If you understand what I'm saying, because some of the smaller states, I think that's 20,000 signatures per state, and some of the smaller states may be intimidated by that number, and then some of the larger states that should be getting more might be riding on the fact that they only have to get 20,000. So
right.
That's
20,000, which is the number that each state generally, as an average, needs to do in order for us to get this done. 20,000 signatures per state. That's 100. That's 200 papers. Okay, with 100 signatures on each paper. So that's a pretty big order to do, but we got a lot of campaigning going on. We're hoping to get more people to help. We're really starting to push. Look, it's this simple, and here's the question to everyone listening. Do you want to save America? That's the question. It's going to take the people to do it. And the people get involved with the signatures. It gets them out to our website. Hopefully a good percentage will join. They'll get behind the movement, because at some point it may take people power in one place to come together to push this thing. But I don't think it's going to end up with that. I think the key thing is the signatures behind it. Our numbers growing. Look, we know what our Alexia rating is, and we watch it been growing for 2 years now, and it gets better and better and better. We know how many people come to our website. Well, the government knows, too, and then they should be worried about us. So with the signatures, with the papers, with the fact that we have a presence, a PO, you know, an actual physical, an address, PO boxes in most cases, we have addresses in every state, we have phone numbers in every state, we have fax numbers in every state, or at least we're in the process of doing those two things, the phone numbers and the fax numbers, we have emails for each state. We are well organized across the nation in every single state, some more than others. And so the states are working, of course, to organize the counties, and this is where the influx of people coming in is going to really work with us to help us get this accomplished. But either the people want to save America or they don't. I remember going out to Washington with the where there was a 3 million people went out. I'm trying to how come I can't think of his name? Goodness. Anyway. 3 million people showed up in Washington, the March on Washington. I remember when Ron Paul did it, and probably about 10,000 people showed up. But when Glenn Beck, that was the name I was looking for, when Glenn Beck did it, he had the first time he pushed for it, and he himself didn't go, but he did cover it on his TV program. But he got the people out there. 3 million people showed up. The next time he went out there was under a million, but a lot of people showed up. Well, look, if he could do it just to go up to get people to go march on Washington to tell them to obey the law with no power and authority, and we knew they weren't going to listen anyway, okay? He had authority, of course, but really no power. We're coming with power. We get a million people behind us. They got a problem.
Maybe somebody should contact Glenn Beck and
he's been notified.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to make it that long, and I didn't make it that long. You made it that long. My final thing is
Rod Paul.
Final...
He's the guy who did all this.
My,
we have trying to follow folks.
I'm sorry?
You know, John?
Yeah.
We set the rules at the beginning, and we're allowing it to not, you know, to be broken.
What's that? On which?
One statement or one question.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Well, if we stuck with, I'm not the one that took the time though, and I only have one other thing, and that's about the jurisdiction thing. I've done a little bit of study on that, and jurisdiction is the only thing in their court that can be raised without consenting to jurisdiction, and that's all I got to say.
Okay, that was good. Okay, we're going to go to the next question. And that's, looks like New York Sheila.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to add that I also added the 1 million signature forum to the media group. And I'm just asking if people and members would come over and share some of your ideas. I'm going to post what was mentioned tonight. Thank you, Eric, for mentioning it. But, you know, I just want to reiterate that it's very, very serious. And I'm a grassroots activist. So basically just hitting the streets. I know it's cold out now, but I am going to post some ideas that will assist people and where to go and that. Because I know it's cold, but if you're inside of a mall, you can be at the front part of it and still be warm. So that's about it. I just wanted to add that, but I wanted everyone to go over and take a look and add any suggestions or ideas on different places. Like I added what was suggested tonight with the gun shows and shops. And if we have it in an organized place, then, you know, it could help. So I just want to share that. And anybody, if you have any ideas, please come and share them. Just post them up. And thank you, John. That's about it.
Okay, very good. And it's March, so we got a lot of spring fever days coming up when you can go out and get signatures. So
right.
Keep that
Absolutely.
In mind. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sheila. Okay, the next question, it says, unknown, you're unmuted, 5185.
Hey, George, John.
Hey, who's this? I'm sorry.
This is Johnny B.
Hey, how you doing, Johnny?
Hey, pretty good. This would be the new phone. Actually, I had four or five things, but I'm going to drop back. We got into a Bible study Saturday afternoon, and we're researching some of these statements from the major and minor prophets and Christ about the blood sacrifices.
Yeah, I think this particular subject would be best done on when we do our Bible studies on Saturday. Why don't you bring it there and we can discuss it? I'd like to hear about it, but I don't know if we want to get into that kind of a discussion here on National Liberty Alliance.
Yeah, we got a lot of people that are inimical to that.
It's not a discussion. It's actually the verse 6:8 of Micah, but that's fine.
Yeah, but if you're going to bring it up, I presume you're going to go through line upon line to bring a position and an interpretation. And
no,
then,
no.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to read the verse.
Look, I think bring it on. Oh, to just read a verse. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just read a verse. Go right ahead.
And he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requireth of thee, surely to do justly, and to love mercy, and to humble thyself, to walk with thy God. We went, and that was the last verse we read in our study. And I told the whole group, I said, guys, this is what the NLA is all about right here.
Well, amen. I
appreciate
that.
We got it covered.
Yeah. Okay.
Could I tell you about my phone issues? It would do good for the group.
Phone issues is what? What do you mean?
How I lost my phone.
Is that the Ready phone that we've been telling people to get, the Follow Me phone?
No. It was the phone I've been using since I joined NLA, phone I'd had for almost 3 years. And it was because of the conference calls that I lost the phone. Okay. On the no contract, pay-as-you-go phone services, they can remove your service. Not only did they deactivated my SIM card, I could not reactivate that same phone. Period. I don't know how they did that. But they said it was because I was overburdening the towers. Because I was on a pay, that's a fact. I violated SEC
nobody,
code
nobody overburdens
and federal
towers more than my sister does on her no pay phone.
Yeah, I'd like to say about those who are calling in to our call on Mondays or any time we have a meeting, they should really consider using their browser, because if they go to the Monday Night Call and click on, the Monday Night Call, in there's information that you can click on a dialer that opens up right in your browser, and you call in. Now, if you don't have a mic, but you have speakers, at least you can listen. If you want to talk and you have a mic, a headset, or just a mic with speakers, either way, you can actually participate. You hit *6 as a dialer that stays there to keep you online. And this way it defeats the phone system. It makes it a lot more comfortable because you're listening to a good quality speaker through your computer or headset. So people with phone problems that are dropping or use a long cell or the phone start, the batteries go dead, you can come in off of a dialer right off your browser on the Internet.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I used it on Saturday, John, and it worked really well.
Yeah, I've used it
before,
too.
I know we had some problems with it in the past, but I dialed in on it Saturday, and it really, I was really pleased on how well it worked. Okay, well, thank you, Johnny. We appreciate that, and I know, like, on my pay-as-you-go phone, it wouldn't even let me on a call that was a conference call. They knew, and they just wouldn't connect me. So I couldn't use, like, let's say my Magic Jack phone would not let me come in on this call, let's say. So that can be a problem. I don't know how they know that it's a conference call, but you're right. They don't want you doing it. And, you know, if they don't want me doing it, they better not let me do it. If they let me do it, then shame on them. So I don't know what to tell you about that, but you know how that goes. You got to pick your battles.
You bet. All right. Well, I just want to let you all know I'm 5x5 back in position. So
okay. Thank you very much. I got your number there. We should write it down. Thank you. Okay. New York, Eric. You're on. Excuse me. I got a tickle in my throat. Eric, I don't know if Eric's in here because he wanted to be or we just never took him out.
You know, since he got me up, just let me remind people in Michigan to go support Dodd. He's looking for courtroom observers on the 5th, and go to NLA Ready to start looking into the food with our new partners at Numana, and get to your Chamber of Commerce list and get those million signature mandamuses to every one of the local businesses in your community. That's my, I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, Massachusetts Mary, you're open.
Yes, this is Mary from Massachusetts with the Liberty Beacon. I just wanted to make a comment to you guys. You have the caller about the Texas raid.
Yes.
And I just wanted to comment a little bit about that because I just did an article on it as soon as it hit. And what's happening there is, as you know, Texas, the lone state, they always claim their independence. Well, when I did the article, there was a video with it and some information. And basically, Texas still has a treaty with Mexico. They've got their original map and boundaries. And they can't – a lot of people think that Texas wants to engage in secession. Well, they can't because they never ratified under the United States of America. So they have their own capital. They have their own president. They are their own republic. They have their own mint, they coin. Silver.
You don't like?
And they have their own natural gas. They have their own. They are a self-sufficient republic, and that's why they're fighting. That's why they. That's why they were meeting, because they feel that illegally that they're being through the Mexican wars and all this thing that you know that they have been treated unduly, that they never handed their land over. They have the original map and the original treaty with Mexico from 1834.
Well, you know, that kind of puts them on line with Hawaii, who also has the original treaties in effect, and they claim they never were rightfully made a state. So that means Texas and Hawaii are kind of in the same boat there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't them just stepping out of line. It was they've had this in place a long time. I mean, we hear that Prescott Bush, you know, the young one there, is supposed to be land commissioner. Well, they've had their own land commissioner for years and years. They have own land stuff. They have. You won't believe it. They have it. I mean, when a state is they even have their own mint coin, silver. You know, they have their own capital house. They have their own president. They have everything.
Well, in order for them to come in and raid them like that, there's only a few reasons they would do that. And one of them would be that they're afraid that they're going to be successful. Or they could end up standing out as an example to the rest of the nation, too.
Yeah, that's why
you know
I wrote
what I mean?
It up.
So, right. So that might be another reason that they're particularly targeting them, because they've had boots on the ground for so long. They may be ahead of everybody else in as far as what their procedures and stuff are. And, they're not stupid. They're going to go after where they think they get the most bang for their buck as far as, you know, doing an operation that's going to discourage people. So, they might have been hitting the nerve, and that's why they went after them. I don't know that much about it. So, you know, I guess I should have read your article beforehand, but,
Well, you know, it's up there, but I it's a Liberty Beacon, but I just wanted to mention that they've always said there's no case for secession because we never were part of the United States. So that's why they've always had their own independence day and all that stuff. But when this all started to become out of hand, they really took it seriously, and they started meeting, and they made sure that, you know, that they were really going to go through with this and say, look, you can't consider us, you know, under your law because we have a different law. And that's the way it is, because there's no record. It's not on the record. We never ratified it. So, anyways, so you can't secede from the United States if you never receded. You know what I'm saying? If you never... what's the word? Maybe I'm using the wrong word. But I just wanted to make that clear. And, yes, I did, like you said, make an example of that. And I thought of Hawaii. And what I did was when I wrote up the summary, the introduction, I said a lot of states should probably look at their records because they're all being held in one place. And I bet you if you look at some of these states, the way they were purchased, I mean, who knows? New York was purchased. Didn't we purchase the Native Americans? We purchased New York, right? So you never know. So people need to, I put in the article that each state should look into their own record, their own original map, and see what happened there. And we could have a case here where some of these states aren't even part of the United States. So I think what happened was they went down there, the Army went down there and started fighting with Mexico. As a matter of fact, their real territory originally included New Mexico, all the way up New Mexico and all the way up to bottom of California.
Yeah, but one of the things we want to remember is what our founding fathers realized, and united we stand and divided we fall. We had to come together as 13 states, and originally we are 50 states, and I know Alaska and is questionable, and especially Hawaii is questionable. I'm not sure about Texas. It sounds like they may be too. And maybe some other states. But look, we've been here for 200, well, not for 200 years, for quite some time now, basically, for most of the states. And we are all Americans, and we all do agree on the Constitution. And it's time to unite and really bring back the Constitution, reinstate it, reestablish it, work as a people together, as Americans, to really bring justice back to the United States. And if it gets here, it will get around the world.
I agree. I mean, to ask 50 states to function individually
Silly. We'd be in trouble. Big trouble. By the way, 13 minutes left, so, but go ahead.
What's that?
No, I was just telling Gerard, 13 minutes left. We closed down in 13
okay.
minutes.
Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to say. I just want to say there was more to it, and that's why I wrote it up, that they weren't just being out of line, but they have special circumstances there, and you got to give them credit. You have to give them credit that they're following common law all along.
Right.
They're following common law.
Yeah, there is some problems with what they're doing in Texas, though, and maybe we'll talk about it next week if you want to bring
okay.
it up, because it's too late because it's a conversation that may take a little time.
Right.
But let me correct what I just said. It's not 13 minutes. It's 8 minutes left. So let me get off the mic. 8 minutes left, Gerard.
Okay. Promise.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, next question. It looks like Speak the Truth. I don't know. Last time we had Irina on that. I don't know who's on it now. Go ahead. You're unmuted. Hurry up. You got like 2 minutes. Anonymous, Speak the Truth. That might be in there from before.
It was.
Okay. Okay, New Jersey, Jason, you're on.
Hi, Jason from New Jersey. Look, I sent out to you Dr. Aiden's form on February the 3rd. I resent it out to you guys as a way of working with the birth certificates. I also have a gentleman, Truman Burst.
Did we lose Jason?
I lost him. I don't hear him. Sounds like he lost bandwidth.
I see him.
I see him too, but I don't hear him. Jason.
All right, leave him unmuted and go to Michael and leave him unmuted. Maybe he'll come back in.
Okay, California Michael. Oh, I hit next question, so I got rid of him. Oh, he's on the other side. I'll unmute him on the other
side. Hey, sorry about that. My phone came on. Hey, John, Gerard, Michael, L.A. County. You guys, the email I got was tonight's call was about de facto versus de jure, right?
Right.
Yep.
6 minutes, by the way, but yep.
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to reel off a few things here that for the consideration of all that are listening still. First of all, because of the timeline we're on, I sure am praying along with John and everyone else that we do get our foot in the door soon because Loretta Lynch is an example right now, is up for nomination by Obama to be the next Attorney General, who should have never been put on the list because she's had more secret, according to The Guardian, she's had more actual secret court cases than anyone ever in the history as a judge. Plus, she's a longtime friend of Eric Holder's wife, so she never even should have been nominated. But there's a list of things that Obama's been doing in secret for 6 years, things like, you guys heard of that black site, the Honan Square in Chicago? Anyway,
no.
According to The Guardian, the Honan Square in Chicago is where they've actually had, under NDAA, Americans, just Americans, they've been disappearing, detained, and abused. And one guy that was even there was found dead in an interrogation room in the secret prison is what it is. So you've got all these secret things happening from Fast and Furious that's been going on, the gun running, all the way up to now he wants to pass through the FCC illegally to do secret stuff with the Internet and... so on and on with the spying on Americans, the NSA, the IRS doing things, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Ex-Im Bank, Muslim Brotherhood, Benghazi, all the things he's been doing. And now the Pentagon loses $500 million in Yemen. So we're looking at also there was a call that was done. It was a conference call revealing that through the conference call that they're going to set up a city within a city by bringing all, not just 5 million, but 13,000 illegals through the refugee status, most of them Muslims, so they can actually destroy the country from within. So we're looking at a guy who's basically being used to do a lot of things to take our country out, and it's no secret that it's all being done in a secret manner. So we do have to get all this exposed one way or the other, and contacting your congressman kind of thing isn't going to work. So what we're doing, John and Gerard, is the right way. It's just I hope it speeds up a little faster. Not to mention he's trying to disarm everybody too. Now trying to ban the ammo.
That is the key there, Mike. Mike, that is the key to move faster. And again, How do we move faster? This is how we move faster.
Million signatures. And,
the people who are not doing things need to start doing things. Don't leave it to the next guy. Look, every group I've ever been with in the Liberty groups, and I started off particularly with the Ron Paul groups, and boy, you know, I have a Liberty group here in Dutchess County. We have over 200 people, 200 members, and when we have a meeting, a big meeting is 20 people. I mean, where is everybody? Well, you know, they don't show up. We have people that never been to a meeting, but they joined up into the Liberty group. And it's the same thing with National Alliance, and it's the same thing with every Liberty group that's out there. Look, it, either people are going to save America or they're not. Is America worth saving? Then let's do something. Because this is the one time that you really have to do something. Let's get it done. This is the thing that is going to save America. Only the people can save America. Let's save America.
And my last point was for you guys to consider was there is a guy brought this up before through an email or something, but I don't think it was on air. But a guy named David Zuniga has an organization called America Again, and they are actually trying to do things similar to what you guys are doing, in that they're trying to make people put them on the tab for basically what they're doing, and then they're going to try to, according to what they're doing, they're going to actually give formal notice to the tenant, they're calling them tenants, the people that are elected officials, that they will intend to repossess the Constitution of the United States of America if they do not actually talk about joining, which is basically the good guys, is what they're calling it. So it's a good guys campaign. He has an organization called America Again, and I was kind of hoping both yourself and him could somehow, if they could actually work, somehow network, because if this could ever work where some people like him and you could ever work somehow side by side or together, I mean, there'd be a lot of ways of catalyzing this thing rather than him doing his thing
right
over there.
Well,
have you ever heard of this guy, David Zuniga?
I haven't, but all he's got to do is take a look at our website, get his people to come out here, and understand that ultimately National Liberty Alliance is not really a group. We're a facilitator of knowledge and a place for communication and really to get the message out. But what we're really doing is establishing the people's back into authority in every county by building administrations. And it's a hands-off administrations. We're not going to tell them what to do once they get going in their county. That's their business. But we hope.
The thing is, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're using the grand jury and the jury, which is written into the Constitution. We have U.S. versus Williams behind us. It's something everybody can get behind because it empowers the people. And you could call it grassroots, whatever else you want to call it. But look at these word magic, evil shape-shifting guys that are running things. They can't argue against what we're saying. I mean, they say, oh, you don't have authority. Oh, what is this, Get Back America type stuff? Look, we're in the Constitution. We're there.
Out of time.
So, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's why I feel so strongly that this is the movement that's going to naturally take over, because it's already there. Thank you very much.
We're just about out of time. We did get to the last caller. Thanks, Mike. Mike was the last caller, so we did get through everybody. Hopefully, we'll do that every time. But just real quick, the key thing to our success is really building the principles up in the people. If the people don't have the principles, if the people don't understand that they're sitting on King God's jury, that is the jury, you know, it belongs to him. It's the king's bench. The grand jury, the trial jury, is the king's bench. And when you go there, you're sitting on God's bench. Either we're going to be ruled over by the governor of the universe under his principles, which is honor, justice, and mercy to begin with, or we're going to have the tyrants, as we have today, and we see what's going on in the courts. It's your decision. Benjamin Franklin said it. Either going to be ruled by God, or you're going to be ruled by tyrants. With that, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a good evening, and we'll see you next Monday. Let's get active. Let's get the signatures. Let's do what has to be done. And by the way, the lead-in song and the lead-out song, as we put into the emails, they're available, the lyrics. We choose these songs carefully, but these lyrics are available up on the Monday night page, and you can follow along. Good night. Thank you. Thank you.
easy.